hot. We're going live in 3, 2, 1, go.
Hi. Welcome to the Technocrat Live. I'm your host, Matt Newhall. Jasmine Fuentes with me tonight.
Hello. What's up? How's it going?
Thanks for being on the show. I know it was kind of last minute, and you totally scrambled to make this happen, and thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to have you on the show. So, we usually do some news. I just had a couple of things I wanted to say even before the news, which is that I got a couple of subs and likes. Thank you so much. Keep it up. I do it for the subs, people. I don't care about the money. I don't care about the likes. I just want the subs. Because if you sub, that means you must think that I'm capable of putting out another episode that you like, and you're my kind of person. Because eventually you're not going to be able to tell the difference with the deep fakes. So,
That's how you rope them in?
Yeah, that's how I rope them in. Because you're like, well, totally seriously, like the show, one of the reasons I wanted to do the show live is because deepfakes are becoming, I knew from a technological point of view, this is getting worse. And I mean, it's a problem. You could real-time deepfake voices like this now. So if you have the right program in the back end, you can do it. So it's just a video that's kind of iffy right now, but it's coming.
Can I have the T-Pain voice? Can I do that?
What?
No? I can't get the T-Pain? Auto-tune my voice.
Auto-tune. Oh, yeah. You can auto-tune your voice. That would be awesome. That would be great. You start conspiracies. People will be spreading rumors. Why is it called T-Pain? What is that?
I don't know. I don't know that much about him. I'm sure, like, if any fans are watching, they can put it in the comments.
Oh, okay. He's just a pitch shifter kind of guy.
Yeah, that's his, like, signature sound, and they actually have, like, VSTs.
Okay.
And stuff like that,
Right.
So you could buy a plug-in and you could sound like him on your own recordings.
Right.
So.
Oh, okay, cool. That's really funny. Yeah, there was pitch shifters were all the rage. I liked the band Pitch Shifter. So I know what that was, but I knew what Auto-Tune was. I didn't know what this guy was though. So I guess I'm gonna get an education. I think we're coming from different musical backgrounds, so there may be some non-collisions. So this show is going to be mostly about music, but there's a lot of technology stuff in here, too. This week's news is kind of bonkers. But I just wanted to say that, in general, the Technocrat Live, this isn't just a show for polymaths. This is a show for people who know how to do a lot of things and who are capable of doing a lot of things. And specifically, you know, I could just keep it computers, but I just don't think that's how the world works, and I think as we go into the future and the algorithmic apocalypse overtakes us, do you know what that is? So the algorithmic apocalypse is this idea that we're getting into a labor glut because all these jobs are being destroyed and there's basically no way to replace them. Everybody jumps on the bandwagon where they say, oh, there'll be jobs, it'll just give it time and they'll...
There are more tellers, more computer-like machines than tellers at the bank these days.
Right. So. You know, like, at some point the service economy can't support more jobs, you know, right? You can only get so artisan before it's like, oh, who cares, right? You know, so I think the labor glut is real, and so, you know, I think that, like, people who are just like, oh, it's all about, it's just, there's going to be a lot more art and a lot more music, and a lot of the times the computer geeks, the people who are you meet in the computer field, are musicians. I mean, like, bona fide playing gigs out. I don't know if anyone in any of your musical ensembles are geeks, or if you know you're also kind of a geek too, right?
I have a lot of video game nerds in my hardcore band, and in my other band, we're kind of like, no. I think I'm probably the geekiest in that band.
Nice.
But, yeah.
You're the designated geek. Well,
yeah,
you know what?
There has to be at least one.
There has to be. I mean, I had a couple of guys on here from a podcast, and they're a comedy podcast, and they play it totally straight. Like, you wouldn't know there was anything even, like, a little bit geeky about them. And sure enough, by the end of the episode, one of the guys is like, yeah, I'm the geek. You know, because there has to be a geek. You can't get anything done now if there isn't someone who knows how websites work, how video codecs work, how audio codecs work. So, you know, like anything, like any kind of symbolic analysis is really what the Technocrat Live is about. Computers, engineers, scientists, musicians, makers. There's probably stuff I'm leaving out, like artists, just because and movies, but just because I don't know that as well, or comedy. I love comedy, but I don't really know those things as well, so sometimes there'd be less of that. But anyway, I just wanted to, Mickey, if someone's watching this, why is she on there? And also, I really like stretching and doing weird stuff, so this is going to be awesome.
I'm my own kind of weird, so all right.
Great. All right, so we now have the new segment. This is the Dystopia Report. So in case you haven't heard about my new news segment. So the first thing is Facebook deepfake counterintelligence. So apparently they've been doing deepfakes, intentionally putting up deepfake videos on Facebook and offering cash prizes to people who can find them. So...
Is this dark web stuff?
No, this is Facebook. This is a straight up...
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I don't really know what their end game is here, right? So, okay, so you're going to give money to people who can find fakes so that you know if you're not fake anymore? I just don't... Like, where what are they rewarding? I just don't get it. So, does that make any sense to you?
No.
No, okay. All right, so I don't know, have you heard about the situation in Taiwan? So, so a lot of stuff's been going on in Taiwan revolving around China trying to take force of them, take control of them forcefully. So Taiwan was a protectorate of England till, you know the story. They belonged to China, but they didn't for 100 years. And that's how they got into the situation. I think like 2 weeks ago, at one point, one quarter of the country was on the street protesting. Like it's that. And one of the things they were protesting is extradition. So apparently, the protesters have won one of the five conditions that they're insisting on. It's a really cool protest. So they're actually, one of the things they're doing is they're using laser pointers to confuse cameras. So it looks like a rave. Because of all the tear gas grenades and all the laser pointers just shining everywhere.
That's fun.
Yeah. But they're doing it so they don't get identified. So I was like, that's totally genius. Because protest has been garbage for a while because it was really dangerous to go on protest because, you know, you get your face scanned and then that's it. You know, if local law enforcement doesn't, like, target you for any reason, even if they can't charge you with something or they can't actually... get a conviction, they can make your life miserable. So, yeah. You know, it makes you not want to go protest. So this is good news. So the one condition they've gotten so far is that people who are arrested in Taiwan for protesting will not be extradited to China. But I'm not really sure that's gonna matter, because have you heard about the great social score in China?
So my brother made me watch that show Black Mirror, and it was kind of
Black Mirror is the best. This is like Black Mirror the podcast.
That's
so
cool. That's really cool. No, I really don't watch that much TV or anything, but he made me watch it because he watches like Netflix stuff. And that episode, I can't remember the name of it, but it was like social score.
She went to a wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everyone had a social score.
Like, she's like fucking up, and they're just like 0, 0, 0, like, you know. And then she has no social skill at all.
That's China.
At all.
That's totally
scary.
China.
It's actually, yeah.
That's totally China. Actually, a couple of weeks ago on here, there was... So it's funny. All these are like... You know, most of these are mainstream news sources and verifiable, but like they're not covering this stuff. So it's really news, but they're just not. I don't know. Maybe they're maybe they're in bed with tech. Maybe they're just not being careful. I'm not sure what's going on. Mm-hmm. But so I'm really worried that those protesters are ruined. You know, because their faces are on cameras, it's just a matter of time until they develop the algorithm enough so they can pick them out of the crowd. Yeah. And
they'll throw them in jail.
And they'll be lucky if they can get a rub two nickels together to get a bus ride, you know, much less like excel and buy a house and buy a car and be successful. And so, so what I was thinking is it would actually be really great if we expanded our H-1B program to anyone in Taiwan who can, you know, get a H-1B visa, you know, and that way at least we can recover some of the industry from Taiwan, because if China takes them over, it could be ugly. So that way, you know, while they still have enough freedom that they can get on a plane and leave, you know, where, you know, sometimes Chinese can do that, but not enough. So, and I'll probably have a drone strike on my house now for talking about that. Don't worry, they don't want you, they want me. So the next thing is on wormholes. So this is kind of cool. So have you ever watched Star Trek or anything?
Time travel, you know, like galaxies and universes.
Well, there's one of those too. That's the next news item. But actually, if I go back one, this one's just faster than light travel. So apparently, someone thinks they've worked out on paper how to do faster than light travel, and it's not actually faster than light, it's wormholes. So it involves some kind of black hole and an anti-black hole and putting them together with string theory, and I really have no idea what the heck they're talking about. I mean, I'm pretty geeky, and I get a lot. I worked at a lot of science labs, and I don't know. But
that sounds like me sitting on YouTube watching like hours upon hours, and like, how did I get here to like the video that you're?
Yeah.
You know, like, what am I watching now?
Oh my God, that's my life.
How you get to the reptilians and all that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It always ends up with the. Why does it always end up here? You know. This
Mickey
is one.
The Satan and all that.
This one.
Disneyland and.
Disneyland and demons. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So, but this one, this is legit science. Supposedly, no one's, you know, sounded the alarm that I found yet. So it looks like this might be the first. So far, they're just talking about sending a few particles through it. You know, you couldn't send a person; they would be squished. But you know, like you could theoretically send messages, so you could do subspace messages between spaceships in different galaxies. So, like if we went to Alpha Centauri, we wouldn't have to wait 30 years to know we made it, right? So,
yeah. I could see someone just trying to do like an Uber Eats to like another country with this wormhole, like try to throw like. You know, like money making.
Like, oh, like Rick and Morty.
How can I make money with this wormhole? Like,
someone will build a portal gun and just. Pew.
Like we don't need red eye anymore. We just got wormhole. Like just ship things over and.
Wormhole dot yeah. dot dot
shipment.
Biz.
Yeah.
Yeah, you
It'll
know, I damn, what could go wrong? So yeah, I just thought it was interesting. Check it out if you're interested in it. It's called cosmic strings were the and white holes and cosmic strings were the key technologies. So Oak Ridge National Laboratory apparently is going to try to build a beam to a parallel dimension. You know, like on Stranger Things, like the Upside Down. Right.
Here I am considering like when is sweater weather. You know,
yes.
Like what day does that begin? And then we have that happening.
Right, right. So technocracy people, you're just in it. I mean, you might be a technocrat too, but most of the technocrats I know would be like, yeah, that's out of my league. Yeah, what? Why are you doing this? Why? You know, I mean, I get it, right? You know, but I don't get it. What could, you know, it's just, like, at least when you're doing experiments that, with whole atoms at once, there's a pretty good shot that if those atoms ever interacted each other in the environment, they would have reached that configuration before and not blown the planet up. This is not necessarily the case with this, so yeah, good job, guys. Anyway, I'm all for science, but that's some pretty hardcore science. Hopefully there's not Demogorgons there. and by the way, there's a big kick robots movement. So if you're into kicking robots,
Can I do that at the grocery store once? Can I kick it?
Oh, you're talking about the Stop and Shop?
Yeah. It's,
oh, yeah, we did that one a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I was getting mad. He was like about to run my mom over. I was gonna spin kick him or something. Like I don't
right.
know.
Right.
Like,
well, according to these guys, yeah. According to Wired, spin kick it. You know.
Yeah.
Particularly, so the case that they're talking about was actually apparently there's been several cases where people have either knocked over or tackled or smeared goo onto Nightscope K5 surveillance robots, which are being popular in California at the moment, you know, which is, you know, they look kind of like Daleks and, you know, what? Where do you, why?
Madden results. Better watch out.
Right. So,
you know, people that can hack cars. I know people are going to hack the robots and just.
So, actually, the funny thing is, Wired is using the punch Nazis argument to say that you should be able to beat up. If you can punch a Nazi, then you can definitely kick a robot. Which I'm not really like. I don't think that that's how the law works. I'm pretty sure if you kick a robot and then a cop pulls up,
it's property.
He's going to be like, you can't kick that robot. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, if it's an evil robot, you know, I don't know. So it gets weirder. So then, I was just hunting around for a verification of that. I found this Wall Street Journal article, why kids should call robots it. So in other words, the pronoun, apparently this is an issue for the Wall Street Journal. It's important that we use the it pronoun for robots. Because
they
we
might
don't
develop feelings. They, you don't want to overstep, you know? Like, we're progressive, 2019.
Actually, their take was the opposite, which is just as insane. You know, I mean, this at some point, you're just overthinking it. You know, if you're calling it, and you get used to, and you're dealing with mostly robots, and you're mostly, and you're using, you're being, like, aggressive and basically treating them like slaves. They are slaves. But it actually gets you used to treating things like slaves, and you might actually do it to other people.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, so I'm like, what? So we're, the good news is, we're definitely in trying the stage of humanity where we're trying to figure out the ethics of dealing with robots. Mm-hmm. The bad news is we don't have any idea what to do.
Well,
so,
we have to ask them what they want to be called, because it might want to be called it, it may not. You know,
right.
We gotta ask them what they're comfortable with. And
yeah, I don't think. Well, then they're gonna have to add a subroutine in to have that conversation with you, because of course it's just a pile of programs. At some point it might not be, but we're definitely not there for AI. I can tell you.
Poop out a flash drive, and I'm gonna have to like put it into my computer and read like a whole lot.
Hold on. All right.
That's how.
Oh, you want to be called an attack helicopter? Okay. That's your gender pronoun. Okay. All right. So, I don't know. Whatever. I just thought it was funny that, like, you know, there's a kick robot movement, you know. So, yeah, kick robots. So, apparently, Raytheon has built an anti-drone. This is all stuff that happened this week. So, I do this every week, and every week I have more stuff.
It's a busy week.
Well, you know, Thursday is the magic day. So, everybody wants to put their stuff out on Thursday because that way they get the whole weekend in the news cycle. That's the secret.
We had the holiday weekend, so, you know, it's all just like waiting. It's queued up, you know.
Right. Well, last week there was a lot of stuff, too, but I just, it's all, so I have to, like, the day of the show, I'm on the computer, like, looking for the good news stories, because that's what they come out, because they, whoever's putting these press releases out or these news stories want to get the most bang for their buck, so they save the good stuff for Thursday. So you get the good stuff here first.
Is it the robots, the reptilians? Who's planning this and how? Who's doing this?
Nice. Let's see. So Raytheon anti-drone energy weapons. Oh, okay. Yes. So Raytheon has built a tank specifically for not just knocking down one, but any drone within the field of its fire. Basically what looks like a mini tank with a giant mirror radar array on the top. What, you know, so this is actually kind of good news. If people are really that worried about drones invading their private, you know, it's not you and me,
it's
right?
It's a little creepy.
I
think it is.
It's definitely creepy. But our privacy is shot already. Our privacy is. I don't know if you agree with that, but
I do agree with that.
Yeah, So this guy, a science fiction writer, David Brin, who coined this like 20 years ago, Transparent Society. Basically, once cameras started getting cheap, we were doomed. Mm-hmm. You know, it was going to be. So we don't have any privacy. It's just the 0.01% that has it, or the 0.001% that has privacy, and so. Basically, that's what I think of when I look at this. I mean, you can't, or this isn't really going to be effective against reconnaissance, because you could just send massive numbers of drones out and it's going to miss some of them.
Right.
So this is really about protecting private property, I think.
I want to know how Amazon Prime is going to handle this, because if they, you got your kid's birthday present coming in.
This is going to be
overnighted.
$50 million mansions, and they're just going to be littered with Amazon boxes and dead drones. And then their automated lawnmowers are just going to run over the boxes and shred them, and it's just going to be a shredded box all over their lawn. That's going to be the new look.
Yeah.
That's how you're going to know you're a baller, because you have shredded Amazon boxes all over your lawn.
It's not covered in Prime yet.
It's not covered in Prime
yet.
Yeah, they'll have it. You're right. They totally will have it. Cheers. So this is kind of an esoteric one, but apparently the guys are at Brave, which I use, which is a good, really good web browser. I've been saying that Google has figured out a way against the rather draconian, pun intended, EU, the rather draconian EU regulations for privacy. So apparently, what?
Reference Article 13 or no?
Yeah, Article 13. So they have figured out. So this is kind of, you know, when they passed Article 13, it was like this was going to be a thing that was going to really affect the little guy more than the big guy. That's the first thing I thought, because I'm paranoid in reptilians, right? You know, I love a good conspiracy theory. As long as you remember their theories, they're healthy for you, right? You know, I think you got.
It's good to ask questions. You know,
it's good to ask questions.
Good.
Like you're into soccer, right? So
yeah.
Like you're playing soccer. You know, the other team is conspiring against you. They absolutely are. They are trying to defeat you, and they will crush you any way they can within the rules, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, of course, there's going to be some. So, I mean, and for sure, a lot of tech legislation, this is totally serious, is written by politicians that then just, written by companies that just hand them to politicians, and politicians just, if they get enough money, they just go, yes, this is great tech legislation. So I don't know if it's like that in Europe, but it's definitely like that in the United States for sure. A lot of them, sometimes they'll even leave like the metadata from the guy at the lobby firm in the Word doc that becomes the bill. Like, it's that bad. Like, they're not even trying to pretend like that's not what's going on, which I guess is transparent but also creepy.
Right.
So, you know, I kind of wonder, like, if Google found a way around this through using a technology called push pages, which I, again, now normally the computer tech stuff I get, I don't quite exactly know how this works, but Brave is an excellent browser, and I'm pretty impressed with it. I'm pretty impressed with that team. It's open source, so they're probably being on the up and up. You know, usually if you have your source code out there, it's kind of hard to lie,
right?
Because, you know, I don't know.
Here, this is me. That's
right.
What you're doing.
Right, yeah. Like, oh, the source code. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fine. I mean, occasionally someone will hide something in there in plain sight, but, you know, it's pretty rare. And it's usually in an esoteric case. There was something recently in one of the Linux programs had a backdoor for 3 years, but it was a situation that almost never, no one encounters, so it would almost never be activated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, I don't know. It seems like a, anyway. So the thing that's interesting about this is, so lately, when people hack into computers, what they've been doing is they've been you know what cryptocurrencies are, right?
Yes.
They've been mining cryptocurrencies.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's what they've been hacking into people's computers, not to send spam emails, not to do mm-hmm. not to do DDoS a site, but to mine cryptocurrencies. So in Firefox.
And when I said nice, I meant like nice, like that sucks.
Yeah.
People are out of so much money, and yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then how do you really like police that? You know.
What?
Getting the money back and the ransom online.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, cryptocurrencies are pseudo-anonymous, so they can't, mm-hmm. they're not really anonymous. They're
That's
just
right.
anonymous for now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is the addressing schemes are all anonymous because they're all random and they're impossible to crack through brute force. At least the good cryptocurrencies, some bad ones out there too. But
yeah,
the problem is, you can't, like, if you put up a board and you said, okay, this guy talked to this guy and this guy talked to that guy and that kind of thing, eventually you'd figure out, okay, that's, we know who this is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those guys are on borrowed time. for that case. I don't know why I'm telling you that, but anyway, so I completely went down a rabbit hole by myself for no reason. I'm sorry.
That's how we create more topics for other episodes and
right.
other conversations.
You know what? This is just a giant branching search. This whole show, and like. Pretty within another year, we will have the rest. The sun will burn out before we cover all the subtopics.
Yeah.
So I've actually seen it on a computer of mine. You go to the wrong site and it spins up a bunch of JavaScript instances that have your CPU pegged at 100% trying to mine Bitcoin. So literally, all you have to do is go to the wrong web page. Now, of course, you can just shut the web browser off and it stops.
Right.
But this is like, okay, if this happens in my implementation of Firefox. It's a pretty good shot that this can happen to someone else.
Yeah.
So maybe it's time to look at Brave. And I just did. And also, Google seems to be getting away with getting around MS-13. So, MS-13? Is that the?
Article 13.
Well, MS-13 is a gang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
MS-13 is invading Europe, apparently. All right. I wonder what kind of boats you're using. Sorry, that was my flub.
13 is one of my favorite numbers, so...
Yes,
I'm
13!
I'm not part of that gang.
Nice, I love 13. Actually,
Friday the 13th.
I have a camping van with a plate that says Friday the 13th. That is my camping van.
That's cool.
No, it's... Jonathan doxed me 3 episodes ago.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and it's already kind of public because, like, I've had it at a car show. And I'm probably going to be going back to a different car show with it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we actually drove around the country with it, too. So, yeah. So if you see it, it's me, you can stop and say hi. But I guess at some point it'll be a problem. I'll just change the plate then.
A little trip up to Crystal Lake with the kids.
Yeah. So they have tours. I don't know if you know that.
No.
No, totally serious.
I don't like scary movies that much. I mean, I like them once I've seen them, but like I'm such a baby. I need like a pillow or like snacks, and everybody knows.
Really?
I like the aesthetic and stuff, but then because like you know what, they're misunderstood most of the time. These monsters and creatures. So I could see, you know, like I kind of feel like you know, like
Carrie. Oh, it's a different horror story.
Yeah,
you're actually like, how could they do that to that poor
Carrie,
monster?
Like when they were burning the school down and stuff, Carrie was burning it down. I was like. Girl, you do it.
Oh, come on. We were all doing that.
Yeah,
everyone was on Carrie's side at that point. Like, stupid jocks, whatever.
It's like Terminator when the lights go out and flies.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's kind of... Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, are you talking about Arnie, or are you talking about the Which?
At the end of T2.
At the end of T2. Oh, the T-2000.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, me too. Yeah, of course. You're like, oh, even though it's just a program. It's like, I'm here to complete a task. I'm here to complete a movie task.
But it's usually the audio for me. Like, when you hear, like, the music changing, I'm like, something's going to happen. Shit. And then I'm just ready to jump. Like,
So this is cool. This is going to freak you out. I am actually not a horror movie fan, but I just, by coincidence, built the camping van, and I picked it up on Friday the 13th. I'm like, oh, let's see if the plate's taken. It isn't. So I got the plate, and then
That's
I just
cool,
made
though.
It a Friday the 13th themed van. So, wait, it gets better. The original Friday the 13th movie was filmed in Jersey at a Boy Scout camp. They give tours. I got a freaking tour next Friday the 13th. So I'm going to be bringing the van to the original Crystal Lake,
that's
on Friday
to ride a boat.
On Friday the 13th, in the Friday the 13th van. So I'm like, yes, synchronicity heaven. Sorry.
They feature you at like all the cons and stuff. Like, you know, be like, have a whole exhibit near you, and then you could just like pull up right next to it.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
I have business cards. I won
first place in a national show. So
that's
you know,
sick.
And I got invited back to a truck show. That was just a Ford show. So I got invited back to a truck show.
Wow.
I mean, they never invited me before. You know, like I was like, oh, I don't care if I even get it. They invited me. So yeah,
and you get, we had a jacket and stuff, and you're with the crew now.
Right. Just show up in a jumpsuit suit with a mask. Don't worry, it's a plastic machete. Everything went fine. Yeah, yeah. That's really dark. I'm glad you're metal, because otherwise this would be...
See, like, it's weird, because, like, you know, I don't like scary movies that much. Like, I don't know. Like, I like the older ones, because it's just, like, funnier.
Mm-hmm.
But the more audio, you know, like, centric it gets, like surround sound. I'm like, I feel like I'm getting stabbed in every direction. I'm like,
Did you ever see Jeepers Creepers?
Yes, I didn't like that.
That is the one horror movie my wife does not like. So, yeah, that one is really...
And, like...
No, just because it's that scary. Like, it's so scary that she just can't... Like, I don't enjoy necessarily, like, the gore fest, like Hostel or something like that.
You have Tarantino's producer in Hostel?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I was just like, oh, come on. You know, this is too much. Whatever, you know.
And, like, I appreciate, like, the shots and, like, all the cinematography. Like, I love that about horror movies. But
right.
I'm just like, don't stab me.
So what you're saying is it would be a bad prank to, like, sneak up on you with a Jason mask in the woods.
I mean, I was just walking down the hallway and, you know, and someone was there. Yeah. And I jumped, like, 5 feet in the air.
That's cool. You know, you should, like, walk around with a recorder. So that way, eventually when it happens, you'll get the scream, and then you can use it on one of your albums.
See, I'm quiet. Like, I don't scream. I'm just like a deep gasp. And then it's like, I don't know.
It runs, you just scream
family
on the inside?
Everybody's all, like, little bitches, so that's all.
Nice.
So we're all okay.
You're weak. You're hitting it in fast.
Except my brother, though. He's a tough guy, and he likes all the scary movies, and he's the one who creeps us out, because he jumps out of, like, closets and the kitchen. I don't know.
Okay.
So
it's probably it's a joke, right? But apparently there's, I don't know what astrological sign you are, but there's actually two
Aries.
Astrological Aries. Okay, so you're fine, but I think Gemini and what's the one in September? What the heck is September?
This is Virgo, right?
Virgo?
Right,
yeah, so I think almost every serial killer, like the big ones, have either been Gemini or Virgo. Nice.
Out of Gemini.
So
unbelievable.
Wait. So is my wife, so is my dad. So I'm totally doxing myself in this episode. Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I just like hanging around with Geminis, I guess. And I'll probably think it's funny.
You're like, ha ha ha, and you hold a knife and you're like, ha ha.
Bleeding out, dying of laughter.
You're so good. Thanks, guys. This is the way to go. Valhalla, I'm coming.
This is just getting ready for a Halloween episode.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, technically, another weird synchronicity. I don't know if you looked at the calendar, but this show falls on Halloween.
Yep.
So I've been debating whether to have a Halloween episode or not.
I'll make your sound bits if you want. I'll just make disgusting noises in the microphone.
I can make animal puppets on the wall.
You can make animal
puppets? Shadow puppets.
Great, nice. He'll make the sound effects. You'll have the shadow puppets.
Mm-hmm. I'm already doing it for the D&D episode, so why not?
Right, you know. Only the best here in the Technocrat Live. Shadow puppets, baby.
Well,
shadow puppets.
I could hear my disgusting noises.
Your disgusting noises. Two shadow puppet shadows. Nice.
It's $1 billion idea. You guys are going to get too rich for it.
I know. Everyone's going to be bickering over the rights. It's mine! No, it's mine!
We can make a Technocrat coin.
You
cryptocurrency.
See, we didn't even get through the full dystopia report, and already we're full Halloween horror movie dark.
And we're rich.
And we're rich. Well, that's what's darker than rich, right? I mean, you know, it's like, what are we going to do today? I don't know. I'm bored. Let's push the envelope.
Let's buy a country.
All right. Let's buy a country. Now let's burn it. Now let's try to sell it and force someone to take too high a price. Oh, look at that. I've gotten a bargain. So on a more serious note, the New York Shield Act is something that people are fiercely debating behind the scenes. So New York, of course, has its own laws separate from everybody else, and probably only second to Silicon Valley itself, New York's tech community and tech business community are amazing. There's a ton of businesses here. There's people actively trying to grow it and make it happen, including the place, the building that we're in right now, and also in the city. I happen to know some people in the .com business, and I'm kind of shocked and appalled, and I hope I'm wrong, because it looks really bad. New York just passed a law called the Shield Act, which basically makes it illegal to have any kind of website or anything with users and not report a breach according to a protocol that they have defined for, like, six different agencies at least. which I'm sure all of them are going to have questions, and this is going to be an extremely expensive endeavor. Even if that user data has no value, it's just junk, throwaway user data so people can keep track of their own settings without using cookies involuntarily or something like that. What? I hope I'm wrong. I really would like to talk. It's funny. I just had two lawyers on the show back to back, and I could have asked one of them, and then now this is hitting, and I'm like, I don't know. So anyway, so it passed a few weeks ago. If you're in the tech business and you're in New York or you're thinking about coming to New York, you really need to have your lawyers look at this. The only upside I can see to this is I've always thought that this is a solution to our cars being intrusive and spying on us. was that to actually make a copyright counterclaim against them. So, I mean, think about it. So when you're driving your car, you probably understand it, right?
Well, it's pretty intricate in there.
It kind of doesn't matter, right? So
I cover my webcam on my computers. Is that similar?
Yes. That's the right. So there's a couple of risks with cars. And one is that the privacy thing, where it's either the company spying you just for, you know, maybe to listen to what song you're listening to, what speed you drive or something like that, or just to like, you know, even a benign use, like they're trying to figure out what that noise in your car is when your car breaks so they can fix it so it doesn't happen. Again, that's what they, that's probably the best business case to have for that stuff.
Right.
But also, when you have an internet connection in a car, that thing can be hacked. Typically, the car's computers will have like a telematic system or something. It's running Linux. Linux has root vulnerabilities every couple of years, at least.
No, not knowing much on this topic, but would that count as, like, I've had Sirius XM in my car. Is that, like, similar?
Or? Yeah, so Sirius XM, what year is your car?
It's a 2016.
You don't have okay, yeah. So you definitely have...
Rolls Royce.
You definitely have a can... Nice. Nice. We were making Lord references before,
black
so...
Black rims.
I saw the spinners. They look good. They look
right.
Hot.
You like those LEDs.
Yeah, that's good. So, we're not making any of this up at all. The unit that communicates, almost every car company has this now, the telematics unit, the thing that'll talk to Cirrus, or another unit like it. Usually there's anywhere from 5 to 20 computers in your car, or even more. And there's one of them that actually connects to an antenna, which phones home. And the problem is that typically these units will run, they might run Linux, but it doesn't even matter if they don't run Linux. Most computers are hackable. It's very hard to make an unhackable computer. And you have to spend a lot of time and energy to think about it carefully and have a lot of review. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be vulnerabilities that come up with them. Do you bring your car in to be patched?
No,
nobody does, right? So
I'm wondering, like, could it be like it could take over cruise control or something?
Oh yes, like it absolutely. Most modern cars are completely drive-by-wire, so you can just take over everything. You can take over the braking system, the steering.
Network.
Yeah. Basically, you have a remote control RC car, and there's plenty of information on this. I'm not gonna. We've gone over this before on the show, so you can just look up DARPA and remote control, remote hacking in the cars. But yeah, it's absolutely real. So that's the one that scares me. But also, privacy is a problem. Here's the interesting thing. So if they're recording data that's being generated by you driving around, so if you're just driving around like this, you know, and you're doing this, you see this thing I just drew? This is copyright. Theoretically, things are instantaneously copyright. Now, this is something that people don't understand about copyright. Typically, people will send stuff to a copywriter to say, hey, could you verify in case I ever end up in court that I sent this to you at this date and it was mine? Mm-hmm. But you don't need to do that. Copyright is instantaneous, or end-user license agreements wouldn't work, right? As soon as the copyright holder has the rights to their copyrighted works instantaneously. So, now, you might think, okay, who cares about this? This is just me driving around my neighborhood, right? This is just my route, maybe with some engine data mixed in and some other things. But, you know, even whether the instrument is a pen or a car, that's still copyrighted data, and it has value.
I didn't know it went that far as to, like, where you're, like, a route you drive. I mean, like, Waze app.
Well, they'll argue it doesn't.
Google
There's
Maps.
A lot of money in this. You know, the car companies are going to have to change all their cars, so they don't want this to happen. But I really think that this is true. And it just takes the right lawyers with the right funding to pursue this, and they'll win. Will they do it? I don't know. But I hope so, because the consequences security-wise are really bad, and also privacy-wise are really bad if they don't. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? The place this has value is insurance companies. Mm-hmm. So insurance companies can... you can plug a unit into your car, and they'll give you a discount on your insurance. Typically, the discount's anywhere from $200 to $400 a year. That means this is worth $200 to $400, and they're stealing it.
Hmm.
Yeah. So if I were a lawyer and I were bored,
30 miles per hour though. I didn't. Discount.
Just because something's copyrighted doesn't mean it's art, but it's still copyrighted, right? You know, there's lots of bad art out there.
Like,
so
like my old band. Well, I mean, we thought we were like art, but it was probably really bad art. But we did. Speaking of copyright, we mailed our CD to ourselves to copyright, and we like sealed, you know,
right.
We never opened it, so that was like
that's my contribution to this copyright. That is the poor man's copyright trick, you know. Mm-hmm. As long as they can, the problem is you could theoretically forge a seal, but you know, there's all kinds of magic law around the post office. Mm. Which like, you know, like, because they don't
stamp and
right. People go to jail for a long time and mess with the post. So as long
as we had a Taco Bell budget. I still have the Taco Bell budget. So we mailed it to ourselves.
Nice.
In that band.
Nice. That's a good move, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't even have to do that, right? You could still she said in the courtroom over and over and over again. That sucks. But it doesn't mean it wasn't yours. It still was yours.
We were pretty ahead of our time. Though it was pretty political, and it was before a certain president was the president. We were like ahead of our time. All the other like mainstream popular bands kind of did that stuff after us. So
really,
yeah, we have a song called like Donald Fascist, and we kind of wrote that when he was like on the trail, like the campaign trail. He wasn't even like, you know, people weren't even thinking of him seriously at that point. We were just like, yeah. That's my political view, that's this guy. But yeah, so I'm like, so it's good that we have this time.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people didn't get angry until the end of 2016.
Yeah, it was
so,
like, it was during that beginning time. We were like, yep, all right. But I'm just saying, like, you know, if someone wants to argue who came up with the song ideas first, I have it.
Right.
So it's sealed up.
Nice.
But, you know.
And, hey, you can always break it out if someone finds out about it and steals your stuff.
I think my guitarist has it, but he keeps things safe, you know, that matter, so.
Right. Cool. yeah, so the point that I was trying to make with the Shield Act is because, of course, people drive in New York,
mm-hmm.
right?
Very much.
Copyright violation. Not so great, but they do drive. They do technically drive in New York. So the Shield Act... would actually have, I mean, they're collecting user data. I'm not sure it's a slam dunk, but there's a possibility that the car companies collecting your copyright without your permission would actually be a violation of the Shield Act. So I don't know if New York knows what it just did, but it may have just forced all the car companies to actually provide an upgrade path.
I was going to say, do you think they have like all the twirly swirls that I did to get here?
New York State doesn't, but whatever your car manufacturer is, sorry, Mercedes-Benz, you said, right? Bentley?
Rolls-Royce.
Oh, it's a Rolls-Royce, so
yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, Rolls-Royce definitely has that data.
Okay.
Right, so, not great. And they may have unintentionally violated the Shield Act. If it reads the way I think it reads, I'm not sure about that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we'll find out. Hopefully they'll reverse it, or we'll get some case law so we know what the heck's going on. Because otherwise I can't run a web server and have users on it, which is bonkers. You know, I mean,
they hacked my car and they set it to country music only. I don't know if I can drive anymore. I don't know. I can't. Like, you know, you try to change it doesn't change. Like,
and the screen just comes up, assisted suicide? Yes, no. Yes.
Do I call like the Ghostbusters? Who do I call for that? The cops don't want to even.
Yeah, well, you know, this is a real issue. So there's been accusations where people have crashed their cars, modern cars with telematic systems and CAN buses in them, and people have said it was a conspiracy. You know, it was the reptilians, and you know, and the cops are like, it's not the reptilians, except
it's
the problem.
Elvis.
It's Elvis. But the problem is the cops wouldn't know if it was the reptilians or not. So in other words, like they wouldn't, they can't log into each of those computers and make sure they weren't hacked. They don't know what it would look like
if
it was tampered.
Up, how do you recover it?
Right, exactly.
Know.
Right, and so, you could and like you can hack something and not write anything to disk. So like if you were going to try to kill someone with their car, you could just leave it in memory. But then of course the car shuts off when it crashes and turns back on and it's gone. There's no evidence it was even there. So how would you even know? So this is like, this actually creates a forensics problem. I mean, a lot of people die in car crashes every year.
Yeah.
So it's like a top killer in the country. So.
Well, let me tie this all into the supermarket robots. So now you have a reason to smash every robot because they're just taking all your stuff.
Right, right. Do you know what the supermarket robots, do you know what they actually do?
They're probably reading my credit card. They're probably stealing my contact.
They're RFID driving.
They're cleaning up spills in aisle 7, sure.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You heard the party line. Yeah, yeah. Oh yes, yes. They're spill robots. Yes, that's why they need to be 8 feet tall.
Right.
With giant googly eyes.
I'm glad someone else brought that up because I'm like, why is that necessary? It could be a cute little cherub robot if it wanted to.
Because you'll kick it.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Right, right. At least someone will notice if that thing tips over, right? Yeah. Robot spill and
yeah,
they'll spill, so half the spills will actually be the robots. Yeah, this is going great, Stop and Shop. So actually I actually have some really great news, some huge news, and actually I would have ran with this first, but I've actually gotten into the habit of putting the bad stuff first in the dystopia report. So now we're kind of getting into a little more utopia-ish. So apparently. A scientist at UC Irvine has figured out. So, you know what CRISPR is? CRISPR is it's a gene editing. All right. So most people probably don't.
I thought of chips when you said it.
Delicious. I like it when my food is even crisper.
They call chips crisps in the UK.
So the really short version is it's a way to do search and replace on genes, and they figured it out. A bunch of different scientists in a bunch of different labs, not coordinating with each other, figured out different pieces of it at the same time, and all came together at roughly the same time, and now everybody's having a big fight about what CRISPR is. So we couldn't do search and replace with genes before. You basically just had to, take a barrel full of dice and pray you got all snake eyes when you did gene editing, and now you can actually replace. But there's some problems with it. So that's what CRISPR is.
Very scary business already.
Right, right. Well, this is within 6 months of CRISPR coming out, China had already intentionally used CRISPR to create, to add the suspected autism gene into monkeys to test to see if they had the predictable behavior changes. There's Chinese
full-on ethics
scientists.
Issues here.
Yeah, you think?
Full-on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how long did they talk about the ethics of splicing the CRISPR gene into these monkeys? Like a day? I mean, the monkeys were born basically right after it hit the press.
The first thing they woke up, they thought of.
Right, right.
Right.
So, by the way, the monkeys did express autism-like behaviors, so it was a successful experiment in that sense. But at the same time, it's like, I mean, you got to at least have a meeting for a week, guys.
Pros and cons. Does anybody do like a Venn diagram anymore?
Yeah. The upside of CRISPR is basically the end of all disease. That's the real promise of it. So there is, and there are ethical ways to proceed. And
the intentions, though, come from different places, good and bad. So you know.
Right, right. So I've done the lab circuit. I've actually worked at science labs, and yes, I think. Most scientists will tell you they have good intentions. Some of them actually work at it. Some don't. Usually, in my experience, when people in science have bad results, it's because they don't really work at ethics. They just don't do the work. They're like, whatever. It'll be fine.
I'm thinking more like money talks, and you'll get the wrong.
Well, that's the loophole I think that their funders utilize. So I don't think it's usually the scientists who are doing the.
They're just doing the work.
They're just doing the work, but I'm just busy. I don't have time to think about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to think about that. You need to think about that. Yeah, okay.
I hope it's.
You know who you are.
Zoom in.
You know who. You know. All right. Think about it. Think. No autism monkeys. All right, so
you find a new engineer.
No, Steve, you can say it. You're good.
I don't fit the criteria.
So anyway, we totally haven't even gotten to the topic yet, which is that actually there's a flaw with CRISPR, and it turns out sometimes when you would replace one gene with another, there'd be an artifact, there'd be a junk gene along with it, which the way the DNA works, actually our genes have tons of junk that's just ignored because of the pattern that it follows, but sometimes it would affect. So it was like not always a clear cut that the CRISPR would work. Mm-hmm. Well, someone figured out using UC Irvine, something called lambda red I knew how to pronounce that at one point. Recombinase? Lambda red recombinase. Anyway, I don't know. So the idea is that it actually it makes a hard stop on the DNA strand, so there isn't any junk added on to the fact. And the result of this is that you can actually copy whole chromosomes at once, which is really important because when we think about, it was just meant to copy a few genes, CRISPR, because it was actually taken out of a bacteria. So we have white blood cells, and that's how we protect ourselves from disease. Bacteria write it on their own DNA. And CRISPR is the method they use to write it into their own DNA. That's how they have an immune system when they're only one cell. Mm-hmm. So this means that we can use it on more complex organisms like ourselves effectively, which could be bad, but could be good, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, let's just test every animal first.
Yeah, that would be. This is going to, the interesting thing about CRISPR is, I think the temptation for designer babies is going to be enormous.
That's scary. Very scary.
It's very scary.
It's very creepy enough with like the dogs, like they have to get them to look like a stuffed animal bear.
Right.
Like to be Instagrammable, and all that.
Right. I mean, so it'll just turn blurry, right? So at first it'd be like, okay, we definitely want to filter sickle cell anemia out, right? We know how to do that, so we'll... Mm-hmm. But then it'll be like, well, we want them to have a strong heart. Okay, so we have this gene sequence from this athlete who has a really strong heart. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do that, okay. But we don't want them to have zits. Yeah, so we're going to make sure that they have a very good complexion. And it just keeps going, And the funny thing is, they're actually, I think that we'll get into a situation where scientists will start, how should I put it? Scientists will start creating people that have the same markers every time. So in other words, they'll be the package that the rich can afford a designer baby person will get. And then the package will actually be visible in their genetics. So you'll look at someone's genetics and go, oh, they're rich. So this could actually backfire on them in a way that they're not really realizing. This is going to get weird.
I'm just thinking of the Olympics. Like, nobody wins because they're still running. It's like 10 weeks later and they're still all like competing.
Right.
Everybody's got the gold medal. It's boring.
this is why nobody follows Olympians except during the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a coincidence.
Even
it is
like
boring.
Even all the sports teams, they'll all be competing, for the same thing and all winning the same thing.
Right. Or the margins will be so close that it'll just be like,
Or they'll just stand there and they'll be like, can't compute, and like blow up.
Right. The good thing is I really think people are like super diverse, and I think there's been just tons of natural selection, and there's tons. I think evolution is alive and well, and there's just a ton of branches where people are trying, we have different learn and genetic strategies so anybody who tries to get too kind of monoculture will get burned.
If everybody buys the grand package there.
Yeah, everyone gets the package deal.
Yeah,
oh, they got the blue blood package. Yeah. Let's see, what else?
Can I get laser beam eyes, or is that allowed?
Yes. Okay. Yes, you definitely can get laser beam eyes.
Okay.
And then people will know, you're not really a baller until you have laser beam eyes so that you can destroy the refuse of evaporated Amazon packages on your lawn without having to lift a finger, right?
That's perfect. That's what I want.
Have you seen The Boys on Amazon? Speaking of Amazon, have you seen The Boys?
No.
All right, so I don't want to... Should I spoil it? What do you think?
I mean, you have the two-month rule, but I don't know if she wants to watch it. Do you want to watch it?
I don't watch things that much.
All right,
so... watch this episode again, and I'll spoil it all over again.
Oof. Yeah, that's not how it works. You're tricking me. No, well, all right, I'll just say there's a character that has laser eyes, and rather than get dirty... He uses his laser eyes a lot. So he's also super strong, but he wouldn't want to get anything, like any blood on him. Right. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, that's the elite way to clean up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, laser
that's
eyes.
Good.
So good call. Good call. Very technocrat.
Yeah.
Right through the laser eyes.
Right through the wall.
Good instincts.
Don't need doors anymore.
just U-shaped holes in every wall.
I just like X-Men.
Like a cartoon.
So Cyclops is one of my favorites. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool. We see, but Cyclops is different because Cyclops doesn't also have super strength and can fly, right?
No, he can't fly. Well, he like hovers, you know, like.
Can he hover?
I think he hovers. In the video games, I thought he did.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He does. It's that old like, Marvel video game, right?
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does hover in that. Well, I wonder what, I never figured that out. You know, I wish I was more of a comic book junkie.
Just aesthetics, that's all.
Right.
Bronze aesthetics.
Right, is it? A piercing gaze is even scarier when you're hovering. You know, wow, that guy's really zen, yo. you thought it was like some kind of like super strength, but he's really just really like, you know, he knows himself.
He's got like a hoverboard prototype. Man,
yeah.
Now they have those things. Who?
Vinny.
Oh, hi, Vinny.
Sup? All right, well, so...
I was thinking about Wolverine, so I'm sorry.
Wolverine? Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I like Wolverine. I like the Deadpool secretly likes Wolverine and then can't get over... Never mind.
Fan fiction, there's plenty of it.
So... Linear LED, this is actually really good news. So if you're into cars or electric cars or green or greenifying the fleet in general, a company called Linear Labs has created a brand new kind of electric motor, and it's really important for electric cars. It's the Huntstable electric turbine motor. And now, again, I haven't actually seen this. Mm-hmm. I've only seen graphics and papers. I haven't actually seen the working prototype. Mm-hmm. But apparently it is twice as efficient or more as a regular electric motor, which means that you can use half the battery or have twice the range with the same battery. And it doesn't need a DC to DC converter because it works differently. Apparently, so this is going to be just, only motorheads are going to get this, but just as a quick thing. So apparently the way that it works is it shifts the magnetic fields. So there's a separate part of the motor that shifts the magnetic field so it can actually dampen or strengthen its own motor. So I think what's going on is the motor's not under as much stress when the field is dampened. So you can build a really high-end motor that not necessarily has as strong parts because it isn't running at full strength all the time. So it's not going to rip itself apart all the time. So, and as a result, it's smaller and it's lighter. And apparently, the part I don't understand is that why it doesn't need a DC to DC converter. But apparently it doesn't, which is both a huge power problem, but it also means you have to configure the batteries a certain way, which makes them less efficient.
So and you said it was green, so what are we talking, like, what's
we're talking about? We're talking about the same Tesla will be able to drive twice as far. Or
I'm picturing like a hot version of a Prius.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, it doesn't have to be a Prius. I mean, we might. Personally, what I want to see happen with green cars, I'm hoping we get to a point where the motors are fast enough where we can start bringing big cars back because there's no penalty.
Right.
Because they're safer. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. When you have this much space to decelerate.
There's a car company selling electric pickup trucks for like $30,000.
Oh yeah, VIA Motors. Is that what you're talking about?
I think so.
Yeah, it's VIA Motors. You're talking about. I know you're talking about what Mark was talking about, right? I actually looked at them for when I was getting my van. So, but the problem is nobody will do 4x4 conversions on them. So I wanted a full 4x4 because you know can't do that.
Right.
But I mean, at some point, I'll probably do a conversion on my own band. So it's terrible on gas.
I used to like Hummers, but then, like, you know, when you realize how much gas it uses up,
right,
and the
repercussions
on the environment,
honestly,
I'm just like, ugh.
My van is terrible too, but at the same time, it really bothers me, and it's not like I only drive it. Typically,
I'm not judging you.
No. It's okay. Judge me. No, I'm judging myself. So when I will only use it when I need it. I don't just drive it around. It's not here. You know, like, I could have taken it here, but why? You know, it's the last time I drove it was for my son's birthday party, which was a few weeks ago, and it was a belated birthday party, and you don't care about that. And
I do. Happy birthday.
And every seat was taken. So even though the van gets 10 miles of the gallon with 8 people in it, it gets 80 miles of the gallon if everybody was driving their own vehicle. So if you look at it that way, it's really not that bad. You know, because, I mean, think, if we didn't have the van, then all their parents would have to drive them.
Right.
And then it would have actually wasted more gas. So if you use it smartly, having a big truck isn't necessarily, driving around, it's kind of different. But I'm kind of like, I'm a motorhead, but I try not to be a total dick, you know. You know, I like, my favorite thing is to cruise around on a motorcycle, which are typically better than most.
It's not that bad compared to what other things that are out there, so.
Right, right.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, so check it out. It's the HET Huxtable Electric Turbine Motor, and looks like it's going to make a huge difference. Of course, there's been plenty of vaporware in tech, so that never happens, you know. But hopefully it's as good as the promise looks like it is. Okay, and here's the big one. So I have found something amazing. So you know what Guitar Hero is, right? And
yes.
Rock Band and
of
all that
course.
Stuff. You know. You ever play them?
Came out, I think, when I started high school. So, yes, I have them, but they collect dust. I think my brother and I, like, killed every level. I don't think I ever
killed really?
Everything. I don't think we killed everything on expert. At least me, I think I just stayed, like, the hard level, and that's it. But
that's okay. That's interesting.
I played that, and I have my things about Guitar Hero and about Rock Band.
Go for it. Go rant on them, please.
Freaking drum set. Can we just, on both? Come on, man. Like, I smashed it. I broke it. No, double pedal is, like, one of the biggest things. It's like, how do I play Slayer with a single foot? Like, you know, like, it's raining blood, and I'm just like, boom, ch, boom, boom, ch. It's not, but it's just like, you know, they were cheaply made. I think I would have paid a little more, you know, for it. Well, I mean, it was a Christmas present, so Mom would have paid a little more for it if she cared, and if they had it, any more, like, upgrades to it. But,
right.
You know, I mean, they're meant to break, so you buy more. I get it. But, yeah, the drum kit didn't really sync up that well with the music.
Right. So what you're hitting on the drums doesn't actually reflect what the actual drum beats are.
Like, you don't even have enough cymbals. Like, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of these songs, there's, like, a crash and a ride and, like, seven other, a China split, like, all these things. And they just have, like, one here, and this, and then the kick, and this, not even, like, a good snare. But the layout for Rock Band, I'll give you this. It's, like, more set up like a drum kit because they have different, like, shapes to them. No,
you were the perfect person to bring this up with.
Let me say, Guitar Hero is the one that looks more like a kit. Rock Band is just like circle, 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 circle.
Mm-hmm. Guitar Hero took the formula
and perfected it. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, because that did come out later than the Rock Band one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Early bird gets the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese.
Yeah, back then I used to have to go to like a friend's house to play one, and the other one we had.
Fortune cookie with them. We were talking about Saw and horror movies. That's not gonna that. All right, anyway.
Cookies sometimes are insightful. Other times you're just like, all right, to the garbage it goes.
Yes, yes. So yeah, no, that's great, and it's a great character. I completely agree. They drive me batshit. I hate them. I was already a musician after they started coming out, and I saw my friends playing this thing. I'm like, why are you putting all this energy into it, right? And it was just killing me. So I actually just recently, I wouldn't play them. Like, they were like, hey, let's see, you really play the drums. You're a real drummer. Let's see what a real drummer would do to this. No.
Aww.
No, I wouldn't do it. You know, I'm like, I'm not, you know, this is just going to mess my brain up.
And you're a drummer?
Yeah, I'm a drummer,
that's
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been a drummer since I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. This story gets so much deeper. It's so awesome.
So you understand what the kick, everything. You,
oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. So the notes that are going on the screen that are scrolling in front of you, just what you were saying, have nothing to do with what you actually have to hit to complete the game, to complete the level in the game. It's bonkers. And it's actually worse than just doing it with like a controller or something, mm-hmm. because you're training yourself wrong on the instrument, which may block your ability to learn the instrument later. Am I off my rocker on this, or
it's more I forget who put it. Someone had mentioned it before, either a friend or someone else. I don't know. Mentioned like if you're good at the video game, you're not good at the instrument, or the vice versa. So you're a really good drummer, you can't play the thing the right way, the game the right way.
Right. So yeah, I mean, it's been bothering me since they came out. I'm like, this is terrible. This is ruining future potential musicians, like a factory, you know. And I'm like, you know, so then that was with Rock Band. Guitar Hero was a little bit better.
I'm gonna interject on that though, because I think it's good that, you know, that it's kind of like putting music more mainstream. I feel like, you know, like a lot of songs on the Guitar Hero and stuff I wouldn't have known if I didn't play it, and like it got into other bands that way and things.
Okay,
like that.
So it helped you get into the music scene.
Yes,
more.
I think they should continue it, you know, for like the generation now, although they're going to have mostly like trap music on there.
You
and
have
all
fallen to my trap.
Oh no. Fall into the trap music.
I fall into the trap. So this is I just put like five words on the sheet, so you may not know where I'm going with this, but so
I can't read.
Guitar Hero, I think, is probably a little bit better. And actually, the reason I say that is a very specific version. I'm like a fan of Megadeth, and I, you know, Endgame is a great album. This Day We Fight is one of the greatest songs ever written. And I saw somebody put a video up of somebody playing. They had the, you know, they had a video camera on him on the toy, you know, the guitar toy. Mm-hmm. And actually, they put next to it someone actually playing. They did a cutscene. They put someone actually playing This Day We Fight. Yes, please. This Day We Fight next to it. So stay for this, though. I want you to hear this. This is good. So they're, the motions on the hand were actually very similar on Guitar Hero as it was to a real guitar. But it wasn't the same, but it was very close, right? And I'm like, this is insane. So I gave an offer to anyone. I'm rescinding this now, sorry, because I had something better. I gave an offer to anyone. I said, anyone who can play This Day We Fight this well in Guitar Hero, I'll buy you an actual guitar so you stop fooling around with that toy and become a musician. No, I didn't say that.
I was just going to interject that. Rocksmith. How do you
Rocksmith.
Feel about that?
Right, right. So I don't know if you read this. I didn't know about Rocksmith. So
I learned.
That's how you learned?
I
should have played it.
What? I did not know that.
Yeah, it's a big part of it.
Guess who just got Rocksmith? What? I told you I was starting to play guitar.
Nice.
Holy cow.
It helps us like Guitar Pro, except with like actual instruments and more latency. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Right, right. So like compared to those toys, mm-hmm. I mean, so basically the way this is, it's just like Guitar Hero in the sense that you have something scrolling in front of your screen, except they teach you how to play the game with an actual guitar. You plug a real guitar in, and like if it's out of tune, you lose because like it won't pick up the tones.
That's
right.
Great.
Yeah, yeah, you know. Yeah, yeah. But
I mean, unless you like playing art music, then.
Right, right, yeah, yeah. Well.
You got a comment? Want to hear it?
Yeah, sure, sure.
All right.
So they said, Guitar Hero and Rock Band literally taught me the essentials of guitar and drums. I wouldn't be the musician I am today without it, most likely.
Interesting. Okay, so, oh my God, if you think those are good, you have to look at, at Rocksmith, because it's just completely different. I mean, I made more progress in 3 freaking days on Rocksmith on a guitar, a cheapy guitar I just bought, than I made my whole life. I am 45, people. I went to music school for a year. I have played in pretty much every kind of band on the drums. I could not figure out the guitar. I'm like, I played a blues riff the other day, and I'm just like, at the end of the song, I'm like, I did that? I felt like it was like riding a motorcycle.
You don't really need the teachers anymore. Like rock, Guitar Hero probably gave me more like the want to like, because I don't play guitar. I play bass. I consider them different. Some people don't.
Right.
I can't really play guitar. I just can't coordinate it that well. With the chords, it's very slow and it's bad.
So I'm curious, did you, Rocksmith, catch it on the way out when it first came out, or?
I've had it. I think my mom got it for my brother for Christmas, but we didn't. I don't think we even tried it once. Mm-hmm. So it's been there, but you know, I didn't really try it yet. But now I kind of feel like I should try it now that you're giving such good feedback.
Oh my God! Worst case, you're just gonna just be annoying me like this is not worth the time of loading it.
The song bank looks good from what I saw, but I just like it was my brother's toy. Like you know, he gave it. It was his for Christmas, so it didn't bother.
Right.
I'm telling you though, even like Guitar Hero, you know, it really depends on how the approach is. So, like,
maybe I'm being
teacher.
Biased because I saw that stupid drum kit too that you were talking about.
Yeah, that
you know.
Too. I tried guitar lessons once when I was younger with my brother. The two of us took the class, and the guy was just like shredding. And he's like, "Yeah, one day you could play it like this," blah, 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 and like playing all these solos. And then we were like turned off, and then we didn't play guitar.
Right.
It's all about that first impression, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you know, I mean, I am musical. I can sing. You know, I could always do like backing vocals. I'm not awesome, but I'm not bad. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I've gotten pretty. I'm good now. I used to just be okay. I'm pretty good. But like I just couldn't, like, so I understand tone and pitch and, you know, scales and, you know, I just couldn't apply it in the guitar. So totally different,
same.
Man. So I'm actually thinking about maybe having a contest on the show. And so it's relatively cheap. It's only $40. I'm not promising anything yet. I haven't figured out the details, but I would love to have a contest where people actually come in and plug in their guitars and just, you know, how accurate can you get on the song? Mm. You know, and have everybody like, you know, kind of choose what song they want to have the contest for, and then have a contest and see who can play it the best.
I know a lot of people are into modifying controllers, so maybe there's some people out there that might have modified their Guitar Hero controller to be more, I guess, sensitive to like strumming and stuff, or maybe they modified it
right.
For more buttons.
I'm sorry. I probably wouldn't do it for Guitar Hero. I'm just not sure I'm a believer, but I would definitely do it for Rocksmith. I mean, just because you literally walk in with your own guitar, so you know,
yeah,
it doesn't get more modded than that, right? Yeah, you can't beat it. So you know, if you walk in with a Steve Vai special, you know, whatever, you know, so I have the seventh string and can bend flat, you know, so bend sharp, which is I don't remember, you know, but. Yeah. Anyway, so.
And the whammy bar will not give you star power, so.
It won't.
They won't give you that star power boost that Guitar Hero gives you.
Really?
The whammy on the Guitar Hero, if you
right.
like tilt it or like you use it, it gives you more points.
Yeah. So this is like the perfect. Yeah.
I like it.
How can I make all the strings go out of tune at the same time?
I play with the whammy down the whole song.
What?
Floyd Rose's work. It's a floating one.
A Floyd Rose is a floating bridge.
Right, right.
And what it is the strings are attached to it via tension, and tension holds it in place.
Right.
So using a whammy bar could knock you out of tune if you don't have it locked in.
Right.
So using it on Guitar Hero is like something different. It's not like that. It actually bends the whole bridge down.
Yeah,
so
okay.
So you get that dive bomb effect.
I did a whole song like with it tuned down, like held down. I was just like playing it so it sounded all messed up. And good.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, yeah. So actually, I got a Strat specifically so I'd have a whammy bar in real life.
And even
so,
when you tune it, you got it. Well, that's like different than an actual whammy bar. It's a tremolo.
Right, right.
They're pretty similar, but the whammy bar would, if you tune a Floyd Rose, you actually have to put business cards under it and get like a lock in it if you want to fit and tune the strings and stuff like that.
Oh, okay, I see.
You need a screwdriver to open up the nut and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
You don't have to wind it up like in real life on the Guitar Hero one. It just stays that way. At least mine did. Maybe it's defective. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. You know, because it's not. It's just buttons, right? You know, it's not. You don't actually have to tune the thing. So, all right, that was really cool. So, I don't know. Maybe in the future we'll do it. I'm really open to the idea. I'd like to do it. I think it would be a great way to promote it because I. I'm kind of in the tech world where I see all these musicians languishing in cubicle farms, and I'm like, why aren't you guys out there making music, man? You know, and I feel bad for them. Because, of course, the answer is mortgages, you know, and credit card debt and car loans and, you know, the normal, all the stuff everyone else has. Mm-hmm. But I really like, I feel like there should be more crossover. Mm-hmm. I feel like music has suffered because so many people have gone who were capable of doing IT and music just went into IT because it was easy money. And then they just left music behind, and we all suffer for it. You know, I think I just put up a clip from another show where I was talking to Matt Sirico, who's also a musician and also a geek, like a Linux geek, and he was you know, convinced that STEM is the key to STEM is the arts. So, you know, like everyone's like, oh, STEM, and then they take kids and they put them in front of they make them into testing machines and they're studying 12 hours a day, and it's like, yeah, but you need the concepts that come with art.
Yeah,
you know,
the theories are part of the whole, you know, the science without the theories, it's, you know, that's the art you're adding into the
concepts are, you know, your brain isn't just a calculator, it needs concepts too.
Right.
And if you're just doing math, you're not getting the concepts. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you can give whatever you're assigned, you can, you know, spit a result back, but a computer can do that. Mm-hmm. We don't need that.
We're
we have lots of computers. It's like, it's almost like the factory mindset, but then they just made it computers instead of factories. It's like, mm-hmm. What? This isn't 1900. The only thing that's going to have any value later is creativity. I think. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But all right. Anyway, so let's get on to you. So that's been the Dystopia Report, folks.
Only an hour and 14 minutes.
Don't worry. Hour and 14 minutes. Yes. You know what? That's good. That now I know, like, you're comfortable because, you know. If you made it through that, you know,
yeah.
she didn't run away screaming.
I didn't run away. I brought up the reptilian, so you didn't run away. Actually.
Right. Nice.
Now you're both locked in.
Now we're both locked in. I can see the black vans through the window. No.
Is there an early edition of the Technocrat Live?
I can see the scales. The reptilian scales.
All right, so you have a bachelor's degree from Stony Brook, right?
Yes.
In interdisciplinary studies. Multidisciplinary studies.
I'm not even sure if they have that program anymore, but it was kind of, and it's really cool because you could take different concentrations and sort of create your own curriculum for yourself, pretty much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been, you know, business-minded, into management stuff, as well as music is a passion of mine. And so I figured, I like a lot of, like, the technological aspects of music, so I figured do a multidisciplinary degree program in business and music. You sort of combine the two, because I always knew that you kind of needed a little more to your life to sort of, you know, be, I guess, to have something lucrative for your career.
Right. Being a musician is tough financially.
Yeah.
You know,
you can't just fit into one box, you know, to really survive.
I'm really hoping that
I get bored easily.
I hope it's going to change for the better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, so I figured take the passion and, you know, apply it to something else, too.
Right. That's great.
I've always been interested in, like, a lot of different areas of study, so I was kind of just like, all right, we got to pick something now. Because I started out as a cinema major in Stony Brook, and, you know, I really like post-production, things like that.
You know, this is just a coincidence. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know, I just bring random props on, and I just dumb luck. So
does it work?
It does.
Action?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, so you really need that when you edit film and you're trying to sync up the audio.
Yeah, you
need
look that at the waveform and you're just like, all right.
Yeah, yeah. It's just it's just boop right to the edge and you're like, okay, that's where the clap was. Right? It really works. So
yeah.
Anyway. So you were into what made you get out of that? Why did you switch to?
I just, like, it was just too, like, theoretical, and I don't know. I wasn't into, like, the whole, like, screenwriting, and, you know, I kind of just wanted to get to, like, shop, and I just wanted to, like, cut clips and edit things, you know.
Right.
I wanted to shoot, but it was just like more book work than what I wanted to do.
Right.
So I was like, eh. I mean, you know, coming from like a family where not many of us went to college, or like I think I hold the highest degree probably in my immediate family.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Like, my dad didn't go to college. My mom did some college. So, you know, you kind of like think of like, where is this going to lead me and stuff, and put a lot of I personally put a lot of pressure on the you know, what it's going to lead to and stuff. But really, you can do a lot of things with your degree that you didn't think you could do, or you could do nothing, or you could do something. And yeah.
Great.
You know, so there's like a lot of different ways you can go about it. You don't need a degree either, you know, to do whatever you want.
Right. Well, that's especially true in the IT field. Generally speaking, if you can do the work, they don't care.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They don't, you know, like, it helps to have a bachelor's degree. It also helps to have a high school diploma. But even, there's even people who are highly successful in the startup biz who don't have high school diplomas. They literally just dropped out of high school so they could do code. So, like, if you can code, nobody cares. So, I say that I'm not encouraging people to drop out, because unfortunately the reality is it's a lot of politics, you know, in that field. Mm-hmm. So, where did you did you get your job? Were you working? You're working at a New Era Apparel, right? Is that right? Or
it's a screen printing company.
Is that like your out of college job, or?
So it was interesting, because I had a part time in college, and it was using, you know, staying there as full time, and it wasn't anything that I wanted to do. It was just work, you know, I got bills and stuff like that. But so anyways, I put my 2 weeks in because I had another job lined up, and then the management changed, so it kind of fell through, and it was weird. So then I was like, oh, cool, unemployment's coming up. So then I kind of hit up Craigslist, because I was like, I want to like find something that, because I see myself as a creative person, so I kind of wanted to like, you know, use that on a day-to-day basis. So I typed in like art, and I was like, you know, screen printing's cool. Like, I always thought about, you know, t-shirt designs and stuff. It's weird to just like be so specific, but being interested in music,
that is kind of specific.
It
yeah
is. Yeah, because I was like, all right,
what was it about screen printing in general versus other printing methods?
I like graphic design. I'm not the best at it, but I think I have a really good sense of like laying out art and stuff like that. You know.
Oh, so you see yourself as an artist?
I think so. And I also, I'm a people person, you know, to an extent. So
right.
I kind of, like, I see people with, like, you know, different band shirts and stuff, and I'm like, this could be a little better if you use, like, pink ink instead of black, or, you know, the other way around.
Right.
I don't know. It's very specific, but anyway, it was, like, one of the first Craigslist ads that I replied to, and then they got back to me. So
wow, that's great.
So I was unemployed for 2 weeks. Like it was a lot of fun.
2 weeks.
I walked around, I walked around the parks with my friends. We made music with my old band. So I had like, we wrote a lot of music in that time of 2 weeks. I joined another band in that 2 weeks, and then it was weird.
Wow, wow. So did you like have a high school band, or was that when you really started getting into music?
No. I kind of like, I try not to regret things, but like, I was just very intimidated by like, you know, because it was like a lot of like, the only bands that I knew were like really metal bands in high school, and I was like, I can't play guitar. I played trumpet, because I used to play trumpet. Oh, I still do, but not as much, like from the fourth grade onwards. So I was like, I don't have any cool instruments. No one wants to hear a trumpet. You know, I could have done a ska band, but nobody likes ska in my family.
All right, let's make a new resolution. From now on, nobody working in a school is allowed to tell a student they can or cannot play an instrument because it's cool. Because there have been more horror stories from potentially great musicians that get the cool line to turn out to be the person who should have been playing. The same thing happened to me.
Really?
I wanted to play the drums in third grade. They said you wanted to be cool. They put me in the bass because no one wanted to do it.
Man,
Did
you know that? Well, you didn't know, but I'm going to tell you. In the fourth grade, so that's interesting. Third grade is when you had band?
Yeah, that's when they started, you know, back when there was more music in school, that's when they started pitching the music.
That's awesome.
At that age.
I wish it started like kindergarten, so you just kind of like, just like you have physical education, you have music, and it's, you know, you could pick an instrument at an early age. So, like, in my school, they gave you a slip of paper, and they're like, so check off if you want to do chorus, band, or orchestra, and what instrument, 1, 2, 3, your top three choices. So I picked band, because I was like, all right, I don't like violins and stuff enough to want to play it. And chorus I did, too, as well as band. And my first choice was percussion, because I always liked the drums. Mm-hmm. As a kid, my grandma, there's pictures of my grandma with me on her lap playing like the drum kit in the house. So,
nice.
You know, so it's kind of funny how it worked out.
Wait, your grandma had a drum kit?
Cause
that's an awesome grandma.
My uncle.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure she was like...
Drum grandma!
Yeah, my grandma was doing like D beats and like blast beats when I wasn't around, I'm sure.
A little speakeasy swing dance in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, yeah, my mom, you know, she lived with her parents for a long time, and I was a baby when she still lived with them, so I got to use the drum kit. And my second choice was clarinet, because some of my friends were choosing that, and my third choice is trumpet. I'm like, it's got three buttons, it's easy. Like, you know, I could do this.
Were you right?
Is it funny that that's my logic? I remembered it.
That's great logic. That's perfect kid logic.
That's what I remembered.
That's very sincere.
Easy, three buttons.
Yeah.
So they gave me the third one because there weren't any girl. There was maybe one other girl playing the trumpet because not many wanted to. They all wanted flute or clarinet. So I didn't get the percussion then. But I always, that didn't stop me from, like, you know, like drumming on my desk and all throughout school.
Right.
But I played trumpet from fourth grade all the way Stony Brook. I was a community member after I graduated. But then, like, with work and then
joining marching bands?
Joining bands. No, I wasn't about that outfit.
It was the outfit. That was what sent you away, huh?
No, they were a pretty rowdy crowd from what I heard. There's a lot of parties. It could have been fun, but those outfits were no.
Yeah. Right, you know, like dressing up like a sailor in the middle of the summer.
I think I would be like really more off balance than I already am. So.
Hey, you know what? Actually, credit to them. I've marched in a few parades with my kids. Holy cow! I even want to march in a parade. Period. Much less in a ridiculous outfit. Much less carrying a heavy instrument while playing it and trying to not look frustrated or sweaty.
Actually, I didn't do marching band like in high school, but they had us do it for like I think. Maybe like a holiday, like fourth, I don't know, whatever it is, Memorial Day. There was some holiday where we had to wear red, white, and blue and march around, and it was middle school, I think.
Right.
But so I did that marching band. But I also played sports, so I couldn't. They practiced when soccer was practicing, so it never would have worked out.
Right. Right.
So.
Hey, it was fate.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry, playing soccer. But I didn't tell you signed up for soccer. Yes, I did.
Signed in, so yeah. So I played trumpet, and I wasn't in any bands. Because I never, like, all these stories of, like, these bands, they've met in high school at the lunch table, you're going to play this, you're going to play this. Like, I didn't have that. None of my friends wanted to start bands, and I never thought of it. It never occurred to me, like, go start a band. Like,
right.
Never, you know, until, like...
Well, what kind of music were your friends into? Was it rock? Was it metal?
A lot of hip hop.
That's why. The metalheads are just obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the difference. I think. You know, it's not that the people who like pop don't like.
Yeah.
The music. It's just I think that the you know like there's no more loyal fan than a metal fan.
Oh yeah, I like the metal, but it was a lot of like I guess the scene metal, like scene kid metal.
Yeah.
And like those guys were like really jerks. A lot of them, and they were mean.
Really?
Like,
interesting.
Like, I don't think they were real metalheads anyways. They probably listened to, I don't know now, but
yeah.
I liked metal, I just didn't want to be like them with the slanty hair and stuff. But, yeah. Sorry about that.
It got cold in here.
But, they didn't...
We were the dirtbags. We were like, I'm from a different generation, you know, we're in the woods drinking beer, you know, fight with the jocks, that kind of stuff.
Let me ask you this, did you share your metal knowledge to anybody else? Or did you keep it elitist to yourself?
Oh, not only did I share it, I was reminded that I should get a haircut and wear jeans without rips in them, and yeah, it was basically like a war. It was like a constant rumble between, you know, social groups. Because, you know, back then, it wasn't like now with the internet where everyone's running in 1,000 different directions, you know. People really stuck to their clique. It was embarrassingly predictable, you know.
Wow.
It really, the Breakfast Club was, like, enforced.
Love that movie.
Yeah, like the classes, and that's real. That was real, and there was no other choices. These are, you can be this, you can be that. It was like being in prison, You know, like the people join a prison gang to protect themselves, you know. It was like prison, and there were prison gangs. Okay, which gang are you in? And you could be the Misfits, but you definitely got beat up more.
Oh, man. No,
yeah,
that
yeah.
didn't really happen. It was a weird thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was it changed in the 90s. I don't know, somewhere between 90 and 2000, it was just completely different. I don't know why or what, but maybe you know.
I just never had, like, a cool metal cousin to show me, like, Anthrax or anything early. Like, I had to find it on my own.
Right.
And it came a little later, but right. I think System of a Down could have been like my first metal.
Nice.
And,
that's a good first choice.
Yeah, that might have been the first one, but yeah. So you know, it's kind of like who you hang out with and what they're into and stuff. And I think I was the one who kind of, you know, gave my friends a taste of extreme metal and stuff first before anyone else. But mm-hmm. I was late to the game with it, so like late high school.
You know, I'm starting to see how like rock band or Guitar Hero would be more important in that kind of world.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
just
a
like,
weird world.
You're like,
yeah.
What?
The cheerleaders are playing Slayer. Like, it's like a whole class breakdown destruction kind of thing. Happening,
yeah, nice.
You know? And all that. And the jocks are listening to Shoegaze with me. You know?
cool. So, like, what got you into bass?
So, AFI is my favorite band. And their bass player is, like, they're all, like, the whole band is my favorite band, so you could just, yeah, they're awesome. But I was like, you know what, I like guitar, it's very, you're free to move around the stage, but I can't play guitar. And bass is kind of like drums for the fingers, so sure, let me give that a try. And plus, Hunter from AFI made it look really cool, so I was like, I want to play that. And like, he writes really good bass lines that characterize a lot of the songs, so I had to like...
So you liked them before you even played bass?
Oh yeah.
Because I don't. I mean, maybe you don't. Like, I'm sure you know this. They're very bass heavy.
Yeah.
Like it's lead bass on that band. You yeah. know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like very. It's every. The bass lines drive every song. At least from what I mean, it's 10 albums. So I don't know every song. But the songs that I heard that I remember, the bass lines drive.
Yeah. The, like especially like the top charting songs are very bass. Like Miss Murder's their most popular song, and it starts out with those bass lines. Although I think, interestingly enough, the guitar player wrote those lines.
So I have a bass player criticism, but maybe it's a bass player warning from the deep. I don't know. So it seems that bass players like bass-driven bands. Like I know another bass player, really great bass player, loves Motorhead. Of course.
Yeah.
Right, you know.
Yeah.
I know another bass player loves the Police, you know,
yeah.
right, you know. And it's just, for some reason, bass players like bass-driven bands. Not necessarily the case with guitarists, not necessarily, sometimes, but sometimes not, and not necessarily with drummers or even vocalists, but bassists stick together. They're like a gang or something, I don't know.
I don't know. For me, it's terrible to say, I mean...
It's like a union. It's a union of bassists.
I kind of just go for the rhythm section if it's strong. Like, I'll listen to...
Rhythm people. Section!
Yes, I flinched.
Yes. Buffalo flushing.
Uh-oh, I'm going to rip the shirt.
It was awesome.
But, so, like, for me, it's kind of like the vibe of the song. Like, and, I mean, AFI is very heavy on the rhythm section. Like, the bass is very characterizing. But I feel like they kind of play as a unit. Like, it's not like someone sticks out more than the rest, in my opinion.
Right, right. Being like, lead doesn't mean necessarily sticking out.
Like, they all contribute to the song equally, in my opinion. But... Yeah, I mostly focus on, like, the instruments first, and because it could be, like, the most beautiful voice in the world, but if you're, like, really boring on every other instrument, like, the guitar is doing, just playing along, it's like, you know, I can't get into it. It has to have some sort of driving factor to it, but at least for AFI, I think that they all contribute, each member contributes to each song evenly. You'll have your solos, but then you'll have like...
Well, I would say like you know, Zeppelin is probably something that most people know what that is, if they're,
right.
at least if they're a musician.
Yeah.
For, you know, that was lead drums, but they all contribute equally. You can't, just because Bonham was awesome doesn't mean that John Paul Jones wasn't also awesome.
Right. But
you
whose name do you remember the most, you know, in that band?
Plant Page, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they have had like an additional 20 years of tours without Zepp.
Right.
You know, Plant Page, you know, so it's, you know.
Yeah.
But I really think that they're pretty, that was another example of a really super balanced band, more mm-hmm. so than even a lot of the other bands from there are.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, but.
But, Rhythm Section. You know what's up.
Nice. Well, you know, I think also they have, you have to be a little more bass driven when you have a punk element to it. And they clearly have a punk element, you know.
Yeah, people argue that, but it's always there. You know, you just got to know what you're looking for, I guess, if it's not obvious.
Right.
You know, even the drums, like, a lot of times, like, they play, like, some really, like, alternative-y, like, more mainstream rock now, but even the drums, sometimes you're like, oh, this is like a hardcore song. I want to just like spin kick some robots in the supermarket. You know? And you're just like, oh, it's
spin kick robots.
You know?
I hope that's an album title. Please be an album title.
Steve and I will collaborate on that.
Nice.
But yeah, right. So there's something for everyone. But I do. I'm trying to play the trumpet more because I did put it down for a bit, being in like my hardcore band and my
right.
punk band. So.
Well, there's this weird resurgence in the dubstep world of trumpet. Also, it's Scott. Well, first it was ska, and now it's happening again in dubstep.
American
too.
Dubstep or United Kingdom dubstep?
No, please go on. You tell me.
So I
spent most of my time in code and like I don't know what is this music.
Well, that's the thing. It's become code.
Right.
When it used to be analog.
Right.
So in the UK, they based dubstep. It was.
Did you read my question? No, I was.
I can't read. I told you. No, I'm just kidding. So dubstep in the United Kingdom, that's where it started first, and it kind of got carried overseas and then became the Skrillex stuff everybody knows. Mm-hmm. Britney Spears even jumped on board, and Britney Spears
did
a dubstep hit song.
It was
What was it called? Hold It Against Me from Britney Spears.
Really?
And it's like she's got like that wub wub breakdown, and I'm just like, Britney Spears, the breakdown's
yeah.
all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But,
the drop.
Yeah, there's drop.
The Britney Spears drop.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing, though, is like.
Come to the Technocrat Live for your Britney Spears drop.
And yeah, please link that song because it's a good example of what America has done to dubstep. But, yeah, people are in it for the wubs here and like. And the drops, you know, and there's even mosh pit, which is interesting how that kind of like, you know, you would think just like metal shows have mosh pits, but actually dubstep shows people are kicking each other and hitting and pushing each other and like jumping and all the stuff you wouldn't expect.
So you know, I mean, you know what it is.
The culture.
So it's a culture.
Yeah.
It's absolutely the culture.
It's the, you know.
Right. Because those metal bands, you know, you might see those guys at the next concert. Mm-hmm. They might be out for revenge. You might die. You know, they'd be like, I fucking remember that guy. Oh my God, I'm going to get him. Let's get him, yeah! You know. But you're probably not going to see, you know, if you're more of a poppy kind of thing without the same loyal culture, you're not going
right.
to see these people again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's love in a metal pit. There's love, you
there
know.
Is.
You go down, people will grab you and go, whoop, get up. I mean, I've been kicked
yeah.
in the head, dude.
Like,
you know, I mean, stuff happens.
When you get into the core, like death core and stuff, like people, what they call crowd kill. And so,
I don't know, the scariest pit I was ever in was Static X, man.
Yeah, but core shows, they're malicious.
Right.
They want
to hit. Oh, people get up in the morning and go, I'm going to kick some ass today, so I'm going to go to a core show.
Train, do spin kicks and stuff like that at people.
Really?
Yeah. Like, they'll just go up to you.
Oh, interesting.
And that's, yeah.
It's
that seems like not good for the band, right?
Crowd killing, but
I mean, it seems like the band would get up and they'd be like, excuse me, I'm going to talk to you in my normal voice and not my scary death metal voice just for a moment. Could you please not kill each other because we want to sell lots of albums and if some of you are dead, we'll sell lots of albums. Thank you. Bye-bye.
No, there was a band where there's a band where the crowd wasn't going crazy enough and the guitarist got off stage and started crowd killing.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like an expectation.
That's like that metal band that all murdered each other in Sweden.
Well, that's real. That's really, if you want to be extreme about it, that's what you do. That's the metal thing to do.
It's not a contest. It's supposed to be. All right, yeah. Anyway. You can't make any more albums if you're dead. You can't be. You're not a good musician if you're dead. You're dead.
But the dubstep in the UK doesn't have crowd killing for the pits that American dubstep has brought out because it was sort of like they use like tape delay, you mm-hmm. know, and like people would sing over like a repeating beat and stuff like that, and it was just like the timing of it, mm-hmm. you know. that gave it that, it was mostly like the bass that gave it that characterization of dubstep. And then when it came here, it sounded like Robot Apocalypse, which, you know, I partook in, you know, I've been to my fair share of shows.
Which is fun too, but.
But I know the roots and I respect the roots a lot. And even my favorite dubstep artist, Scream, he's spelled S-K-R-E-A-M from the UK. He's even tired of dubstep, and he's one of like the founding fathers of dubstep, and now he does house music because he's tired of what happened to dubstep, so he doesn't do it anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
I went
awesome.
To a show, and I didn't know that he did that, and I was like, yeah, he's going to play his dubstep album, and then did house. You were there. You remember that.
After counting the four for about 5 hours.
Yeah. It was nice to see him in real life, though, because I looked at him on the computer, and I'm just like, he's talented, even though I wasn't so into what he's doing now. But
you know, I think you mentioned before the crossover between metal and dubstep.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think that was completely underserved. They could have gone so many more places with that.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I don't know if it's just like the dominance of Skrillex, but like, you know, like I just feel like it just died before it even got started. Like at least I don't even think nu metal ran its course. But at least, like it got like 2/3 of the way there before it quit. I feel like dubstep just went crash, and that was it.
Yeah.
There's going to be in my heart. I feel there will be. I feel like I'm like doing a Bill and Ted here. There will be a metal dubstep crossover, an industrial crossover in the future that will be something completely new that no one has heard.
Well, history,
there's more to be done
there.
History
repeats itself.
And yes.
So like things that happen right now that aren't cool will be cool in 10 years. But metal has taken a lot of dubstep though, because they do the drop breakdowns. It kind of happened around the same time. Synthesizers in like your metalcore bands, or people are spin kicking each other, and then there's like a nice synthesizer layer happening. You
right.
know, like it finds its ways into the subgenre.
Joy, you know. I mean, honestly, there's something to that. Like, I love Static X because
I love industrial.
I there's something magical to just murder the synth, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have it can be hard and grungy and crunchy and and also synth at the same time, and the synth just brings out the joy and the release and the relaxation. You know, and I feel like that. It sounds insane. But it works musically. Again, it's maybe a peanut butter and chocolate thing. I don't know. You have to be there.
That's a good mix right there.
You have Trent who just murders the hell out of the synth with the oscillators and distortion and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you don't necessarily need to go string instrument, you know, to do this. But I feel like that's what's missing. This like the world is missing somebody who is really wanted to get heavily into, you know, effects and distortion and the strings at the same time and merging the two.
Nice.
You know.
I'm going to show you after the show then.
Yes, yeah. Well, Steve, that's Steve's world, and I guess yours to less of a degree. You know, the hardcore world is someplace where that's going to.
Mm-hmm. But my iPod, when people see it, they're like, serial killer, she listens to all these things and they don't make sense. But I have like noise bands, and then I have shoegaze and Taylor Swift's in there, her older stuff. She needs to chill out now. yeah, like it had a time in my life, but it's still on my I still use an iPod, so see how outdated I am?
Let's see,
iPods sound really good, though.
I completely, you know what, I mean, I think it's just people who are, you know, like, that idea that you have to listen to one kind of music and you're trapped in it is that same kind of garbage from when I was a kid, the Breakfast Club kind of stratification you know, it's over. It's never coming back. If it comes back, it'll be retro, tongue-in-cheek, as a joke. It'll last for a year, and then everybody will go back to just going in every direction again.
Right, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, my playlists are certifiable. They're completely nuts over the rainbow. Everything
good
you can imagine, you know, everything from the most hard, deathcore all the way to like pop, you know, just straight 80s pop.
Well, that's awesome. Cause
you know, or like even like 60s folk. Like they might even be back to back in the same playlist because I mean, just look at the Technocrat. So we have a playlist for the Technocrat Live. Thanks a lot to Steve for his contributions. Thanks to Lee, and thanks to anybody else who wants to contribute. Anybody contribute? I am a ruthless dictator with it, but we have our own playlist here. So, and you can literally get A Perfect Circle and the Alan Parsons Project right next to each other on the same playlist.
Love that.
So, So.
Are they plugging it anywhere?
So it's on the, if you go to the Technocrat Live and go to that YouTube channel, it's there. www.thetechnocratlive.com, and just click on the playlist and you'll see it's right there.
Can I submit things to it?
Sure, you can.
Just leave my iPod here. it hasn't been updated.
So generally speaking, it needs to be technology themed ish. It doesn't need to be like dead bang on. You know, it can also be politically relevant, but it has to be in a timeless way. It can't be 2019. It has to be the 2010s or that kind of thing, if that makes sense. So but I'm also a ruthless dictator, and we'll just say nope. And just, you know, I have rejected stuff before, so...
Well, at least you get the suggestions.
Like I rejected a song, and then I put it in later because I'm like, oh, this fits between these two songs. So I'm kind of treating it like a DJ list, too, so...
Okay.
Like a set list.
And you mentioned Megadeth before. I was going to ask you if you like Acts of Defiance, the side project of a guitar player. I'm forgetting his name right now.
Okay. No, I don't. I'm not familiar with them, so...
I saw them live, and that's all I can contribute to that.
Oh, okay. Were they good?
Yeah, I liked it. I bought a shirt. That means I liked it, because I...
Well, Mustaine's got throat cancer right now, so I don't know if you heard, but...
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people are doing that. Please don't go! Please don't go! Because it's like, there's all these old school kind of epic metal bands
just
are...
all around. I mean, like... You know, Morris,
I can't believe Pete Steele is dead. I just, what?
Yeah.
You know, that was really, like, I think the most shocking.
Oh, yeah. That was...
You know, I was like, just out of nowhere, just gone. What?
You can even say Bowie, too. Like,
yeah.
That was, I think, a little too soon, too.
Well, Bowie was definitely too soon. It was funny. I was dancing to Bowie the week before Bowie went, and I was like, no. But, like, yeah, we were actually was clubbing, and, like, I was actually we danced to Let's Dance, and it was at, I don't remember what floor it was on, but anyway, like,
song.
I mean, like Bowie was great, and I'm sad to see him go. But I mean, he was old. Pete Steele was 50.
Right.
You know, come on, man.
Too soon.
Yeah, that's too soon. Yeah, like, no, you gotta hang around a little longer, man. You can't write a genre like Typo did and then just leave. Mm-hmm. What are we gonna do? That's another one that there's more work to be done. So
yep.
There's definitely. What?
Well, they did it for 13 years.
Yeah. Well, 13 years...
They wrote that whole kind of section of frog shoegaze, and they just left the scene for 13 years, so they dropped an album last week.
Right. How is the album? I haven't gotten to check it out yet.
Neither
have I. I guess this is not technically spoilers, right?
Have you heard 10,000 Days?
Yes.
It's like that, but more.
Every
song is like 12 minutes long.
That was expected. I knew that before even seeing the trailer.
Well,
the interviews for the CD.
So this is interesting. So this is like, I love sitting down and having a musician show me what they can do. Just completely blowing me away with their skill. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I study super popular songs like they're ancient artifacts. Like, I will listen to it 1,000 times more than an artsy song. So, I think I've, you know, I'm kind of curious if it's just me and I'm alone on this. So, I'm thinking about, like, so you guys know Zappa. Zappa wrote a thing called the Black Page. So, okay, you know what I'm talking about. So, I don't know if you know the story. So, apparently Zappa's...
I know he has kids that do music.
Right, yes. So, when Zappa was still around, he would write music, and then he would give it to studio musicians because he had a whole ensemble, and he was a one-man show. So, of course, he would, you know, he'd hire people, and then I don't know how many people were consistently in his band, but he also had so many instruments. I'm sure there were people who came and went. So, and he would send them the music that he wrote, and they were complaining. They were actually whining. It's funny, we were talking about whining before. They were whining because it's like, this is so freaking hard. The stuff he sends us is so technically complicated. And they came up with a nickname for it. They called them Black Pages. And they said, he sent us another Black Page.
Well, apparently, more black than white.
Right, because it's just filled with notes.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's got back to him. And I don't know if it was as legitimate art or just to punish them, but he wrote this insanely complex song, which became known as the Black Page. And, like, if you listen to it, it's amazing. Like, it's completely bonkers, out of this world, like the time signatures, the instruments played, the intervals in which they're played. It's a technical masterpiece. And also, it completely fails the three Fs. So, flight, fight, and fornicate. The best, to me, the best music can do, you can do all three of those things. To the music, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can go into whatever place you want to go. You know, you got this is your favorite song, and you just broke up with your spouse, and you're like, I'm getting divorced. And you're playing it in the car, driving down the road at 80 miles an hour, you know. Or if, you know, it's your fight song,
you're
and you get psyched
job,
up to do the thing.
You're
doing the nasty. Yeah, you're leaving your job. Yeah. You do the nasty, and you're getting it on. Or you're like, you know, you're just like, you're getting into a rumble with, Eye of the Tiger kind of moment. A really great song. You could do anything with it, right? I mean, like, and so that is not what Black Page is. They're like opposites. One is like a technical masterpiece that's completely unusable in a way that where you're not just looking at it going, you know?
You gotta take notes when you're listening.
Right, right. I don't know. Am I wrong on this? I mean, I you know, like, you have the musician's music, and then you have the music for everybody, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, and I'm all for, I think Tool has gone a little far over on the Black Page space.
They're kind of like that.
I mean, like, you know, I just cranked Learn to Swim in the car the other day. You know, great song. Sing along with it. Drive fast to it. You know, you can do whatever to it. All the things in the list.
But let me say this. In this day and age, people, you'll have a 4-year-old child from, like, Bulgaria playing, you know, expert-level songs on a little drum kit, but with a three-piece kit, you know.
Right.
Sometimes I feel like it comes from the pride of the musician. Like, I don't want people to replicate this and make it a YouTube sensation.
Right.
So I'm going to play this as crazy as I can, and no one can play it the way I can.
Well, that's exactly what Zappa was doing.
You know?
Zappa was pulling rank. You know, it's pulling rank. That's like,
right. You
people are nothing. I am elite.
Try to copy me.
Right? Yeah. But, like, you know, I there's nothing wrong with that. And that's awesome. And I mean, I have a ton of respect for people who can do that. But at the same time, it's like, I can only listen to this 20 times and then I got to move on because I can't do anything else while I'm listening to this. It just becomes, you know, I mean, sometimes it becomes frizzle fry music. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, like, Primus is like that, where they kind of feel like they could do the three Fs, but it's also kind of intellectual, too.
Yeah.
So you kind of phase in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Or Vivaldi, if you want to go to classical music, you know, that's like that, right? You phase in and out.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Sometimes you're in the music and then you can phase out and do work and then boom, you're back in the music.
Right.
But, like this, that's, I guess, the middle ground, but I just, straight up Black Page stuff, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you think about that? Do you see a lot of Black Page stuff in your future? Or?
Probably not. A lot of crayons involved.
Nice. Crayons aren't just for eating.
I was just thinking about progressive rock and, like, prog metal, like, you know, like, that kind of stuff is more of an intellectual sort of listening, like, I was, like, you know, like, I was patching up some stuff, so I was, like, sewing and listening to some prog metal the other day, you know, and it's just, like, you're just, like, in your own thoughts, and you're focusing on the task, so you could, like, code to it, you know?
Right, right, yes.
You can cook to it, whatever, you know, it's kind of like a deep focus sort of stimulator, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely, and a lot of that's, I think it's, a lot of the prog is becoming the modern classical.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Beethoven was a rock star.
Playing up here.
Right, right, yeah, right, you know, like literally half of Van Halen's solos are just stolen from Mozart. You know,
we're all stealing from Beethoven, you know, everything's.
Right. So, I mean, you know, like, this...
Beethoven was the first metalhead,
The classics were rock stars, you know? They really were, and they understood that three Fs.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know, I thought I'd bring it up as a thing and try to get a feel for your future directions, and... Well, you don't just... You play the bass, but now you play the drums, too? Were you playing the drums all along, or...?
No. I wish I played the drums earlier, but...
You said you were tapping away like crazy.
Yeah, because, like, I never, you know... Like, I got a kit later on, and then I just, you know, it was more my brother was taking lessons and using it, and I don't know. I played around here and there, but I didn't have anyone to jam with at the time. But I joined a band called Sharp Violet. I'm still currently a member, It's a punk rock and roll kind of band, alternative mixed with, you know, Riot Girl.
I heard it. They're pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just heard the one song. I don't know if there's more up there, but
We have some stuff coming out. No specific time yet.
Okay.
But we recorded some of our stuff. We've had a lot of lineup changes.
Works for Tool, right?
Yeah.
You don't need a schedule. Screw schedules, man. I am doing art. You
right
must.
Now.
It is done when it is done. I don't know. Poor French. Everybody's got a French accent when they're artists.
Yeah. I don't know why we do that.
It's funny. SpongeBob.
You need like a hat.
You know what? I probably was fading away and then SpongeBob brought it back hard, so.
Oh yeah. You need the hat when you do the accent, otherwise it doesn't work. But you were British, right? Just now you were British because you didn't have the hat.
Oh yeah. We just lost all our France viewers forever. Sorry.
I like croissants. We Senseless actually got fan mail from someone in France, so if you're listening somehow or watching.
Yes, she does not endorse or agree with these ideas.
But we like our baguettes and our croissants. But anyway, so Sharp Violets had a lot of lineup changes. I started out on bass in that band, so I was like the bass player for a while. Then our drummer went to like law school. We went through another drummer while I was.
We lost another drummer to law school.
Yeah, these fucking drummers, man.
But this makes that's the kind of thing I'm talking about on the show. It's the same people.
Yeah.
Keep going. Sorry.
No, it's all good. I'm still like thinking. I'm like, what's the chronological order? Because we've changed around a bit. Pretty much everybody in Sharp Violet has played bass except Liz, the singer. But she has played. Played the bass, like we put the bass on her and she played notes before. So I guess that counts. So we both play bass. She's held my bass. I'm like, hold my bass, hold the bass.
So you're all lead bassists, is what you're saying?
Pretty much.
Yeah, nice. Okay.
I was like, we need to make you like the Fat Mike woman version, like. But that's there's too many other things involved with that. So, but so yeah, I played bass in that band. Before that, I was in a band called Corruption Culture. That was, like, my first real band. We were, like, a three-piece kind of, like, art, music, punk, Black Flag mixed with Iggy Pop and art movements and avant-garde, you know. Our guitar player really loved Frank Zappa a lot, so.
Oh, nice,
that,
okay.
You know, that, and then you add in my, like, ceremony hardcore.
I gotta say, like, I was into Frank Zappa when I was young and, you know, with my youthful bands and our guitarist was majorly into Frank Zappa.
Oh, yeah.
And I never disliked him, but I just kind of forgot about him. Mm-hmm. And then I picked up a guitar, like, a week ago. I just sound like crazy that I'm saying it this way, but I've made more progress in a week than I had in my entire life.
I believe.
And now I'm thinking about Frank Zappa again. What is it with that? That is really weird.
Do they have any, like, song banks you can load in, probably?
Probably, yeah.
Probably
I'm not there yet. Yeah.
I think you should push yourself.
I push myself.
Yeah, you should push yourself right to those black pages.
All right, I gotta double check my health insurance first, but yeah. His fingers just fell off. We don't know what happened.
It's like smoke. You're like, I cleared the first note measure.
Nice. 5%! Woohoo!
But a shout out to Francis from Corruption Culture. He's a good friend of mine, and you know, he's definitely like a reason why I'm in the bands I'm in now, because he was kind of just like, who cares, just play. Because like, I was such a newbie on bass, I still can't do scales, like, you know, I just kind of.
That's really great. That's hard to find.
I play by ear a lot for a lot of stuff, so people get pissed when I'm like, they're like, play this scale or that note, and I'm like, I think it's this when I hear it, you know, like, I'll play like that. But he definitely pushed me to like play. And so we started as a two-piece. He was guitar and I was drums. So I was doing drums, and then I wanted to do my bass and get a drummer who could hold the, you know. But so I had a little bit of background with drums, not very much. We didn't play live like that. And then going into Sharp Violet, you know, I kind of further learned how to play the bass, like in motion. Like, we're writing songs and I'm learning how to, like, you know, piece the grooves together and stuff. But yeah. And then our more recent drummer went to law school, so they're like, well, shit, we want girls in this band, and there's no girl drummers available that want to travel from New York City here, you know, to Long Island. No one around with, you know, available. Right. They're either in bands or they're not interested.
Girl drummers were the rarest when I was in the music
still
scene
rare.
Too. Yeah.
Still rare. Yeah. Couldn't find. Yeah. We found some in the city, but it's like to come out to Long Island to practice and play shows. It's like a little much. So I was like, I'll try it. Sure. And I, you know, having that always wanting to play drums, I was like, sure. And like, you know.
5,000 AC/DC songs later.
Yeah.
All right, I think I can do something more complicated.
Yeah.
So you're playing Slayer yet, or?
I sometimes I'll do like a blast beat here or there. It lasts for maybe a millisecond.
Right, right.
You know, I'm not quite there yet, and I'm using a single pedal, so you know.
Right, right.
But you know, having the background with the trumpet, and you know, I kind of have that, like I could pick up an instrument sort of thing.
Look, I could totally.
But I can't do scales.
I could totally tell you're feeling like weird and awkward about this. I'm joking around. Don't worry. Like, this is gonna. I mean, drumming is way more useful on the guitar than I imagine. I mean, it really is like with having an infinitely patient teacher. So I don't actually have to torture a poor human being. I can just sit there and practice, and the computer won't get mad at me. At least I don't think.
Might
maybe
overheat.
It will.
It'll overheat.
It'll overheat. You know, I make sure to call it. But you know, yeah. But yeah, it doesn't get mad at me. And it really the rhythm involved. I mean, like you know, I've seen videos on like YouTube where they're telling guitarists you got to tap your foot or you lose track. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's just automatic for me. I'm like,
yeah. Mhm.
It's just in my head, you know, and if I actually use my foot, forget it, you know. So yeah, the crossover. Mm-hmm. It's almost like computer languages. So this
you
is
know
something
how to come in on the one.
Right.
You're not like, bah, you know.
So many guitarists are terrible. Like, they master a
they
riff, and they're just completely out of time.
Yeah.
They're all over the place.
I guess we hit the nail with that one.
I think by default, most guitarists, that's them. They can play the perfect solo. As long as the metronome is completely insane, right? You know, they need this wormhole from the Dystopia Report to be able to find, have a time signature where they can play.
It goes through the wormhole and comes out later.
And then it's 4/4, you know.
We're going to make a wormhole delay pedal.
Right, right. Yeah, so, don't feel bad about, you know, like, if I'm kind of razzing you about, like, the drum, like going from the bass to the drums, actually, I think you'll end up being better on both.
I'm hard on myself on all aspects, so I'm just like, oh man, like I can't do, like, you know, I can't play consistently for like an hour. You
right.
know, like I get peeved at myself, but you know, then it's cool because sometimes your mistakes lead you to like finding new beats that you're just like, oh, I never tried this time before, or like, you know. So happy accidents in that case.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's when you get into multiplication, it's multiplication for sure, and the results can be exponential.
Oh, right.
Like, you know, there's no limit. There's just the field opens up, and there's no limit to what you can do. There was something I wanted to put, I forgot to write it down. I'm so mad at myself. Yeah. There was some good point I wanted to come up with.
Traditional grip, or
I lost it. I lost it, man. It's so sad. It was a really good point. Well, anyway,
while you think about it, I was going to ask you what style of drum are you? Traditional grip or?
Normal. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of it was heavy metal. I was into hard rock and heavy metal back in the day. Mm-hmm. Even if it's strange, the bands I would play in would be all over the map. They would just, you know, classic rock, southern rock, hard rock, metal, like just you name it. And like, but I would practice the metal because it's so much faster, it makes you a better drummer.
Right.
You know, so a lot of my, you know, like I would practice a song
jazz
for a band.
Too.
Jazz too. You know, I went to Five Towns for a year, and actually they focused completely on jazz there. Mm-hmm. So I got plenty of it from school.
Good.
But, you know, I... it just isn't that applicable to metal drumming, you know. I mean, just like being on.
I've heard the opposite.
Playing, you know. No, I just you know, like the you take jazz, you break it into pieces, you do drills. That's applicable. No, I'm actually doing this on purpose. There's a reason. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, like I mean, it's just this. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, they could have done that in swing, but they never did. You know. You know, and sometimes that's great. You can do a crossover where you're doing both at the same time. I mean, you know, but yeah, it was Jazz is okay. I get a lot of the Black Page feeling from jazz too.
I play trumpet. I don't even like jazz, to be honest.
Really?
That's like that's my hot take. That's what people call it, a hot take. That's my hot take.
Spicy molten lava take.
Wow. You know, are you bored with jazz? Or you just?
I don't like it. I appreciate it. All right.
You know what? Watch this. Watch the hate. Fill the comments with hate, people. So your hate will make you strong. Yeah. I mean, I don't dislike it. There's a lot. I mean, you know, there's no denying that Miles Davis is mind-bogglingly good, but
yeah.
You know, like I just we moved on. I think as a culture, musically,
a spade is a spade.
Yeah, and we just
this is what it is,
and we just step past it. I think we're just the pieces of it will come forward hopefully, and mm-hmm. some people will study it and bring it forward. I'm just not sure that's me.
I just can't partake in it. I just don't have the patience for that.
Yeah,
because it's all about like then your solo. And
the funny part is, I was thinking about doing an intro for this show. I'm writing an intro, and the first take was going to be jazz, because of course that's the one thing that's really easy to do an intro with while I'm just on the drums.
And that's my nickname, Jazz, but I don't like jazz.
It's like when you don't play basketball and your nickname's Hoops.
That's rough.
Yeah.
This episode just cutting into my soul.
Oh, this is great.
I like classical.
Hey, it's her show, man. I do not endorse or consent to any of these views. Actually, that one I do. But, you know.
I'd rather Vivaldi than Miles Davis.
Nice. Oh, agree. Oh, another fist bump.
Right to spring rather than.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Wow, I didn't think I was going to get so many points with that Vivaldi reference. So the name of your hardcore. So is your band hardcore or deathcore? The Senseless HC. You know. So.
So going back in time.
Yeah, he thinks it's deathcore. I think it's hardcore, but I don't know.
I said deathcore because I didn't know if you knew what hardcore was, and then you said hardcore. I'm like, oh gosh.
Your band immediately reminded me of Hatebreed. I hope that's not bad.
I appreciate that. We've gotten that a few times, and
like early Hatebreed.
Like Hatebreed, our band. Yeah, I mean, we can play shows with deathcore bands, and it makes sense. You know, we're that kind of hardcore band where, I feel like we're a good balance of, like, you know, what hardcore had been and is to mm-hmm. now newer influences of metal. Because it's like blurred lines, really. Because it used to be hardcore was hardcore punk with, like, you know, the Circle Jerks and, you know, Minor Threat. And it was just, like, fast and loud and aggressive, and over time, you know, the waves, like, for everything, there's, like, a new wave of it, mm-hmm. and, you know, like, the Hatebreed comes along, people take from that what they want, and then they bring into something else. It's just progressed over time, and I wouldn't call us progressive hardcore. I don't know if that makes sense at all to say.
Right.
Because,
you know, progressive is kind of like new wave. It's really been abused. It's hard to tell what it means.
It is. It's like, what wave are we on, you know?
Yeah. What does progressive mean?
Progressive, like,
you know, like I, at one point, like, progressive meant dream theater. You know, are we there still?
The only definition of progressive is writing music outside of the conventional songwriting structure.
Yeah.
So if you do things like, let's say if you don't go with the two verses and three choruses and a bridge, then that's kind of going outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of progressive bands go from there with time signatures and tempo changes and all that.
We could be a little progressive. I mean,
you got progressive elements. It's very possible. So I've heard your music. Yeah, but it's there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, even like now, bands like Code Orange, like they're adding in like glitches and stuff where it's like, whoa, is this industrial? But it's hardcore, and I'm going to spin kick some robots to this, you know? Like, it's just.
Robot spin kick music, new genre invented on the Technocrat line.
Right on the spot. It's true. You heard it here.
Yeah. We definitely do shticks here for sure. You know, we had actually a couple weeks ago we had Space. I don't know if you heard this. So they had this is kind of a cool techie thing. They had Space Crime for the first time. So there was a woman in the ISS who apparently accessed her husband's bank account through the internet, and she wasn't allowed to. Like, it was illegal somehow.
Right.
So technically, it was the first space crime. So they're trying to figure out the legal implications. If she had been in space when she committed it, of how would they have to extradite her back to the Earth?
Like,
So space crime. So kick robots.
I'm worried my shoe's tied half the time, and now we've got that going on. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. So like, I mean, our band, like, we each bring our own influence. Senseless. You know, each member brings in something different. Like our guitar player Artie, he's really into like In Flames and like different metal bands like that, like more European style metal.
Mm-hmm.
And then like. You know, like Tom, our vocalist, he's into all different parts of hardcore. I like a lot of older hardcore, like, which is, you know, there's still bands, they're still playing music, but they kind of, you know, the forerunners of it, I guess. Like the godfathers of hardcore. I love Cro-Mags, Agnostic Front, Sick of It All. You know, like, I take from all parts of hardcore, but I feel like I resonate more with the older style, so I feel like I contribute that to the band in a way. And, it's cool because we kind of like just mix in our influences and we have this sound that we all agree upon and that works and we play, we make it without thinking about it.
Right, right. Well, that's the great thing about a band where everyone's getting along and everyone's priorities are roughly in sync and your timetables are roughly in sync, so nobody's in more of a hurry than anyone else. These are all the things that kill bands. Not that I would know anything about dead bands. I know a lot about dead. There were a lot of dead bands in my past. Everyone just fought until they died. And they didn't wait for the fans to be kicking each other. They just started kicking each other in the practice and then that was just, it was over.
No, it's hard to, and then like that in itself is a whole topic of like getting along with people, and like I'm fortunate to be in bands that we are on the same page, we get along, we, you know, it's not you know, like, you know, I go to practice and we know what work we have to do, and you know, no one wants to kill each other, at least that I know of.
So, right,
sorry if I made you guys annoyed in any way.
your inner peace is annoying. I am offended by your zen.
Your vibe. I feel the vibes. I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, so yeah. Well, so the nice thing about having a band, if you can actually get along and not kill each other, is that you have all these different musical influences, and everybody's constantly pushing and pulling each other because people change over time.
Oh, yeah.
So the band changes, and the direction that people are pushing and pulling each other. It's like a giant game of King of the Hill in a way. But you know, if you're nice enough to each other, the result is not just blood, and it's actually something creative.
Yeah.
But like the nice thing about solo is you don't have to worry about that. Are you thinking about doing any? I mean, you play everything now. Are you thinking about doing any solo stuff or?
Yeah, like I have some. It's like, so I was talking earlier before the camera started rolling that I am an Android person by phone. And I'm a Mac person.
Oh, we'll get to that.
I'm a Mac person by computer. Like I prefer Macs. So I wanted a MacBook Pro. Because it had GarageBand in it, so it comes built in, and you know this was.
Isn't
like
any good? I just ignored it.
2008, I used it in a classroom. Like we would have to do some assignment, and I'd be on GarageBand secretly with my headphones. Teachers talk, and I'm just like, synthin. And so you know, I've always you know had an interest in electronic music and analog and digital. So I have like a lot of material on my laptop that I get bored easily, or I just never finish doing them. I've looked at a few things that I've had, and I've tried to dust some dust off, but I might either start fresh with some new stuff or look back at that and refine it. But pretty much I have like a Bandcamp with my own music on it. One electronic song I wrote in college that I kind
of. You want to debut it here, or is it not done yet?
It's not good, but it's on the Bandcamp. It's up.
Okay, know? Okay.
It's been, I guess, secretly debuted because I just kind of made it. Like,
right, right. Yeah, it's not really debuted if it's secret.
A few friends of mine.
No one had the hyperlink. No one finds it.
No, it's on a secret server somewhere else.
All right, yes, good.
But actually, like a few friends of mine, I've told them about it, and they're like, just put it up, just do it. And like, I think my friend Reggie, he kind of told me to like post up my bass album that I made. I was like, you know what? As a bass player, sometimes we're just not appreciated. You know, like we're there holding it down, you know, root notes, things like that. I kind of wanted to like showcase, you know, to the best of my ability, what a bass can do. You know, I could write a whole song on bass. I don't need a guitar player for that. I don't need a drummer for that. My friend Scott, he goes by the name Buzz Bomb. He is like, he does like a lot of hip hop and produces different people and stuff, just local. But he's a good friend of mine. He was like, hey, like, what, do you have anything you want to work on? Like, I'm bored and I want to record people, you know? Like, so he was like, what about you singing or, you know, this and that, or bass, bring your bass. So pretty much like last fall, I had some time and I kind of went to his studio, and he kind of had me record on the spot, like improv song ideas, using an 8-track. So I can't.
So edit. He could steal them later.
He does. He does have the SD card, so it is his, I guess, in that way.
Right.
But.
And if there was no money transacted, and if you didn't agree to anything, that's still yours. All right, keep going.
I mean, you know, I think the. Yeah. And the robot at Stop and Shop has my music in its hard drive.
Right.
I'm just screwed in all.
Right. It watched you walk by. That's your copyrighted data. You're going to sue the robot after you kick it.
It's uploading it onto its own Bandcamp.
I don't know if you could sue. I don't know if you could sue an it yet. Maybe they'll work that out in the law.
No, but I could break it. I'll smash it down.
Stupid robot! You're destroying art. All humans have left.
Well, that's so real, though. Oh man, that went deep. That's real.
Yeah, it is real. It totally is real.
You can't teach that.
But on the hey, it could be good. It doesn't have to. I know it's called the Dystopia Report, but it could end well. Possibly, I hope.
I just picture a bunch of Michael Bay explosions when I hear those things.
More explosions.
And robots and drones.
Yes.
And Amazon Prime.
Yes.
which, if Amazon, if you're listening, I think you should give us unlimited Prime free yearly if you hear us and like us. We're promoting you a lot.
Nice. Yes, thank you. Look at that, the shout out for some. I mean, it's a. I don't care about money, but it would be nice.
Yeah.
I can be bought for, you know, reasonable price.
We can drop your name and give thanks, you know?
You're like, if it's something like, say we're good, I can say you're good. I mentioned it, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's been on time as far as
I... You know, I will personally, I will make sure to rail against Raytheon and their drone-destroying robots because it doesn't match Amazon's business model.
Freaking
for a price.
Yeah, man. But
it gets weird. Oh, by the way, would you like some wine? I completely forgot to offer you wine.
No, I'm straight edge.
Right. Nice. I don't think we didn't mention that on the show yet.
No.
Okay.
Look at that. Did I break something?
I think Steve. No, I think Steve grabbed the wine glass. Steve's winding up in the background now. So no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, but so get this. This is funny. This was a gimmick. That's the image I made for the show, right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a tux-clad nerd at a wine and dine, which actually happens a lot if you're not in the IT business. This is pretty common. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of schmooze fest.
A lot of stress on the job.
And a lot of, like, you know, high paid, you know, gimmicks, gadgets, dinners, drinks. You know, vendors will constantly take you at the dinner to try to convince you to buy something you really shouldn't buy.
Right.
And that's this is just a prop.
Yeah.
And then my very first show, Isaac's like, we are going to drink, aren't we? And I'm like, I did bring wine just in case. And ever since, people have gotten plopped. Why are you a straight edge?
Just them.
What are you, no fun? I mean...
No, I'm boring as hell.
All right.
Just stay inside.
It's hip to be square.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Square.
Yeah.
Instagram square, ratio 1:1.
Square ways, that's right.
But everybody makes fun of squares, but actually that's your Instagram ratio, and you all think you're cool, so...
Nice.
I don't know. Yeah, straight edge since, you know, you can't be straight edge since birth because you don't know what the hell that is, but I just, you know, I've never been interested, you know, never. And, you know, you could say, like, I mean, my dad, you know, he's an alcoholic, so.
Yeah, family members are alcoholics,
yeah.
So that has an effect. Because you realize there's a risk. Mm-hmm.
But also it doesn't, because a lot of people, they'll fall not far from the tree either. So I guess, like, you know, that was a rejection as well for me. Like, you know, kind of like, I don't want to be like that. And, you know, I love my dad, but, you know, no one's perfect. And, you know, seeing it in high school, even as early as, I think, the sixth grade, I remember boys talking about going into the woods with a bottle of something. And I'm just like, what? Like, we're just learning about puberty, and, you know, like, wouldn't you rather...
You don't think there's going to be... So, I'm not obviously a straight edge, right? I mean, I'm drinking with other guests and stuff, but I'm just, any medicinal use is, I don't even like taking pills. Like, I'm pretty, I keep it to a minimum. It's just for fun and basically to socialize, and that's it. You know, I've gotten drunk maybe one hand in my adult life, you know, and that's it. So I did some stuff as a kid, and I'm like, okay, been there, done that, and I moved on. So I get it.
It's funny, though, because
kind of. I mean, I don't get it like, you know, cutting edge, get it, but I get it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, at the same time, anytime anyone knows I'm straight edge or asks me why I'm not drinking, like, they explain their background, too, and they're just like, well, I drink on these days and this. I'm like, that's cool. But it's kind of more or less like kind of just like what, you know, what you feel is right and not doing what everyone else is doing. Just because they're telling you to, which I think there's something, you know, to be said about that, not following the crowd, and you can apply that.
So it's like being anti-peer pressure is part of it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's good.
You know, that's actually like probably the biggest part is just not, like, you know, not doing what's socially accepted just because it's socially accepted, and you know, it's sort of like a requirement.
Right. Right. Yeah, I get it. I smoked pot a lot when I was in high school. And I was underage, so I don't care what you think. It was illegal for me to even be touching that, to be making my own decision, so whatever. And it just made me stupid. I was like, duh. And I mean, I work in a field, you know, where I can't be stupid. I'm not going to touch that. It's crazy.
Well,
you're going to end up, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe, and it's everything's different for everybody, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I was like, I can't.
It's in the politics now. Like, back then, it was not even thought
about. And this makes you mean, right? It makes you just like, sure, it makes you loose, but it also makes you mean.
Some people get really friendly, you know? It depends who you are, I guess, you know?
Right. What?
He's getting it. Gets him mean or friendly?
I don't know, you've
been... Touchy-feely?
We met when I was drunk.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were just hyper, and you were doing metal voice, and I was like, he's cool.
Yeah, I was doing gutturals, him drunk.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really great, actually.
Yeah. Cool.
But, you know...
I'm
just bringing out your truer self. That's what I think a lot of people... You know, they drink because they can't, you know. I mean, he has no problem doing gutturals anytime, but it just, like, extra makes you extra of what you are already.
Right.
Pretty much, but at the same time...
More Steve.
It's extra. Steve with, like,
Steve plus, at Turbo, hyper fighting.
If you've ever seen my show, I don't think you want to see me actually more hyper than that.
No.
Yeah, wait till he's back in school. He's going to be like, stop with the schoolwork. It's killing me. This poor guy at the end of the semester, he's just like, I have too many things to do. And then, like, after the break's over, he's just like, yeah, let's do it.
His Google Calendar is like the more black than white on the page.
Yeah. His calendar is the black page, man.
Black page calendar schedule.
Dude, I don't know how you do it, man. I feel so lazy next to you. I mean, I think maybe that's how I'm a straight edge. I'm like a lazy straight edge. Like, I like to just keep it simple.
That's a new one. You've heard it here.
Yes. Procrastination and laziness.
Procrasto edge.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. You know, I mean, I will work my butt off if I think it's something where I need to, but I try to, like, only work my butt off at one or two things at once, right? You know, like, if you sometimes it's just my person. I think I'm a B. I'm a type B personality. You know, type A's can just whoosh, just never stop. If I don't stop, the quality of everything starts going.
You know your limit of, like, you know, it's like 11 at night. Like, I sent you an email at like 1:30 in the morning. I work better later when I'm more tired for some reason. Like, I just, that's when I sit down at garage.
I believe they call that mania. No, I'm just.
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm doing. That's what, after I emailed you, that's what I was doing. I picked up the guitar and I practiced for, I was like jumping up and down because I got my first 100%. I'm like, yes!
I think Claudio Sanchez from Coheed and Cambria, the band, he said something like he wakes up and in his first half hour of being awake, he writes like his good stuff. Like, you know, like he takes a guitar in the first half hour and he writes out some ideas in the studio or whatever. Because it's just like something about your, like, when you first wake up, like, there's all this creative juice of what can I do?
You got to see the reaction we're getting from Steve right now. He's just like completely flabbergasted.
How do you do that? When I wake up, I debate if I want to make coffee or tea. There are 30 minutes.
Actually, I think you're onto something. Because, like, even though I'm a type B and I'm a wreck in the morning, I will wake up coding sometimes. I will wake up writing. Like, I woke up this morning and I wrote a comedy routine as I woke up. I got up, I went, and I typed it in. Like, and it was pretty good. I was like, you know, I went back and checked it later to make sure it was. But, like, I've done that with stuff for the show. I've done that with code. I've done that with music. I just, sometimes that's my creative zone, you know. I've written a novel, scientific theory, Sivjine. I've written entire Sivjine articles. I wake up, it's in my head. I have to get it out. I'm like, it's in my head.
Pen and paper at bedside.
Yeah, you know? That's what you do. It's the only way to, it's like this things pop in your head and they're trapped there until you get them out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm so excited about
or
the guitar, because I feel like I need to get some stuff out of my head, you know?
Sometimes I'm in the shower and I have all these ideas and I'm like, I can't write in here. The paper's not going to work. You know, and then I get out and then I'm just
frantic,
like,
scribbling in steam on the window, please.
Someone would call CPS.
It's time to have a whiteboard in the shower.
That's a good idea, actually.
You know what? Right.
I plan my day in the shower half the time. I'm like, I could do this, and then I could do that, and then I could go here, and I could do there. And then, you know, like, that's when I get planning done, is in the morning.
You heard it here first, people. Constant innovation on the Technocrat Live, whiteboard in the shower. Just don't put it under the water. That doesn't work so good.
But I'm not a morning person. It's just creatively, the ideas are there.
Well,
logistics, I'm like, just make it every day.
I actually think that the subconscious is a risk engine, and it's actually doing maintenance when you're dreaming and sleeping at night.
Mm-hmm.
And when you first wake up or when you're first falling asleep is when your rational mind is more or less mostly on, mm-hmm. and your subconscious mind is more or less mostly on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, when you get up in the day, you just constantly, I think your rational mind is just like, it's big batting practice. You'll have insights, and it'll just be like, boom!
Like muscle memory.
And you just, the insight's gone,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you're just dealing with the day-to-day, you know, like, I don't want to, you're working, like, I don't want to fall on the machinery, you know?
No. Well, yeah.
No, I know, it's probably not like that, right? But
I mean, you can walk into a press, and that'll hurt.
Right.
Automatic, so.
That'll be embarrassing.
Yeah.
It'll hurt my feelings. Yeah.
Yeah. I would cry for sure.
Yeah.
But it's just, there's something about, I think it's just like the knowing that most of the world, at least your own world, like, you know, whatever town on Long Island you're in, is like mostly sleeping, and there's some peacefulness to it where you're just like, like, I'm still awake and I have these ideas, so I'm going to focus a little bit on something. You know, and
right,
so
right. Well, that, there's that too, right? There's no distractions.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's kind of like just, then nobody's around enough to make your life miserable. Unlike me, this morning I texted you my kids' back to school notes accidentally. Sorry.
No, I thought it was some sort of
like
improv tactic, like prep.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you did.
I am more mean than my mom, so.
Really? Okay, yeah.
She's not mean. She's
One of my sons is like, why are you meaner than mom? When he woke up this morning, that's why I texted her.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Okay. For a while, my Instagram
it's
name was Jasmine.
It's a texting accident.
Instead of Jasmine, it was Jasmine.
Really?
Yeah.
He doesn't seem mean at all. Or am I just, am I doing it wrong?
I think that was more or less it.
Yeah.
But I can be mean sometimes.
Okay.
But it was more just like some people pronounce my name like that.
So what you're saying is anger is more useful than despair.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Machiavelli in the house, jeez.
Actually, it's from Terminator. Anger is more useful than despair.
Despair is reflecting that. Like, you reflect a little more.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, but if you're looking inward, you're not looking at what's coming at you full speed. So.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true.
There's a lot of truth. There's a lot about soldiers, you know, in the military. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about not looking inward at the moment you're about to die.
Right.
Which is depressing, because then they come home and they can't look inward anymore because they broke that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. I think that's really what PTSD is. It's you just trained yourself right out of, you know, introspection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, screw war, man. Screw war. All right. So.
And hugs.
Unless it's robots, and then you can go to war, because they're just ants.
Well, we'll be at war with them.
I mean,
if it won't be like the bath salt zombies we're going to be at war with, you know, the drug fiends, you know. I mean, the legalization of marijuana, and then it's going to be next crack cocaine, and then meth, and then they're just like, yeah, let them all have all the things, and then it'll be me fighting zombies. So.
And they'll just be riding in the backs of robots. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. and Pasta Jesus. I don't know, whatever else there is.
I, too, have felt it. Well, very good reference in a Flying Spaghetti Monster time, baby. Pirates are on the increase. Be aware. All right, so.
And pirate hookers, probably.
Pirate everything. You know, pirate cybernetics. People walking around with their cell phones like this. You know, arr, I'm a cell phone pirate.
And they back up into you in the Starbucks line because they're like this.
Yeah. And the cashier, the best is that they started putting these things on the line saying, please put down your cell phone and talk to us while we're taking your order.
Ooh, rough. I haven't seen that.
I've seen it a few places. You know, they're more polite than that. You know, they embellish it, but really, it's just, not that they could see it because they have their cell phone in their face. Mm-hmm. They'd have to put it on their webpage and then they would notice it.
That's worth making an Instagram account of purely just taking photos of those signs.
Yeah.
So people see it on Instagram, they're like, all right, they put their phone down for a little bit.
You know, I make everything way too complicated. Life is, you know, life is better when it's simpler.
Life is but a dream.
Life is, especially when you first wake up, right? All right, I like the flow this is going. Tell me about your your job with the printing company. Like, do you guys, so you're just doing art for them, or you're also managing the day-to-day flow of workflow and stuff like that?
I wear a lot of hats. I'm like an executive assistant to the owner, and I deal with the customers. I like customers. However, sometimes customers just don't like waiting regular turnaround time for an order.
Right.
So they might curse you out because they're, you know, you want to, you have to charge them for a rush order. So sometimes it's a little rough with that stuff, but I generally like talking to people and working with them, you know, to get them the best product that they are paying for. You know, I think if you're going to pay for it, you should get what you want. And I also like taking a little extra time and exposing them to like different ideas of printing. Like, because some people just think like, just white shirt, black ink, that's it, front print. But you can actually print on the bottom, on the sleeve, on the back, you know. I've seen inside out prints where it's like people print on the reverse side of the shirt, and it's like you can, it looks faded that way, like gives an illusion.
Right.
Or people could just be like, heh, and like, you know.
Right. I have I have reptile scales printed on the inside of my shirt right now. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Please, no. Conspiracy theories. No, YouTube. Oh, God. Have you ever gotten that request, you know, to have some weird Illuminati stuff printed on the inside of a shirt?
We've got some stuff.
Ooh.
We've got some, like, or I'm just like, there's like a weird line between like, okay, this is someone's order and why are we printing this? But I'll just say that.
My imagination is running wild.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that because I don't know who's watching this, but
right. Hopefully everybody eventually.
Yes.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. We get the rewatch rate is on a curve upward, mm-hmm. So hopefully it'll be more later.
But you know, it's a.
I assume it's a fully digital process, right? Because
no. I mean,
you're doing websites and logos and T-shirts and banners, all possibly with the same stuff. I mean, there's got to be some kind of shared. Or is it?
No, the different processes, different inks, different
analog.
You know, like you can't print a T-shirt on the same palette that you'll print like those beer holders, you know, like that you put your beer can in, you mm-hmm. can print on those, but you need a different hold down and a different palette for mm-hmm. that. And also, like, a lot of shops, they use DTG, which is digital to garment. So, like, you can just pull up something on your computer and print it onto the shirt. Like, it'll just...
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
We do screen printing with, like, palettes and ink and people working on them. You
right,
know?
So you got to pick what colors you want to print on the shirt. Right.
Yeah. So people are
weird.
Mixing. You know, like if you have like branding wise, like if you're.
I mean, it's good, but it's weird.
Yeah. Like if branding wise, if this is your company's brand color,
right.
Like we can mix the powders to make this color, like from you know the base, and we add in the you know the pigment.
Oh, this is like a straight up art. Real. This is like.
It is an art. It's hard to balance out the. You know, you're like literally just putting it on a scale, and you know how much percent of this color and this. Blue 75 am I going to put into, you mm-hmm. know, to make the color you need for your order.
Right. So, like, so some of the, at least a few people in IT have actually gone to woodworking a lot of them, because they're just like everything's, you know, so cookie cutter. You know, you're sometimes it's changed a lot over the years, and I mean, it's gotten to the point now where you might be managing 10,000 machines, 20,000 machines, like you just have piles, or like, you know, N machines, like you don't even know how many you're going to be, you know, you're just dealing with the load, and it's just very sterile. Sometimes, you know, like,
it can
like,
be.
Like there's lots of puzzles to solve, but if, once you solve them, it gets very sterile very quickly, and it gets kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that they just yearn for analog, you know. They want something. They want something more. And I think that I've seen woodworking, you know, music, of course, a lot. But if they don't, they don't do music, that seems to be the go-to, especially particularly for men. You know, they like that. Yeah, I don't see a lot of art, but I guess it's because it's you need to have some talent to get other people to ooh and ah. There's no faking it.
No, there you know, there is a lot of talent involved in this, at least from what I see in the shop. You know, like our owner Peter Jr., he sometimes he'll just like look at something and know exactly what, you know, like he just knows how to make that ink happen by just looking at it, kind of like how I play music by ear. Like he'll just wing it and be like, yeah, we'll throw in some more red, that'll be fine, you know, and it's like comes out perfect. So, you know, there is an art aspect to it, even though you're working with machines and things like that. We have automatic machines, so you know, there is a way of automating it, but also you need a person there to, you know,
right. So once you've done the artistic component of it, you can't automate and do a mass run.
Right.
But you're still doing a run. You still have everything configured for that particular setup, and then you know you do the run, and then it's over. And
but we have an old school screen printer. His name is Tony. We call him Uncle Tony. He is old school with everything. So he uses a manual press. So he's setting up the shirts, and he's doing it, you know.
Oh, wow.
So, but he does an excellent job on that press, and he's comfortable with that.
Right.
Whereas the rest are automated, more or less.
Right. So, but it's still analog, though. You know, it's weird. It's weird to even, like...
That's harder, because you can't mess up. You can't blame the machine for messing up your order, you know.
Right. But I mean, so is there, do people, like, request that? Is that, like, something special, or is that just, like, is that just how he prefers to work?
Well, it's a little bit of everything. I mean, like, we'll have orders where it's, like, a one-color, like, what you're wearing is a one-color location. So, you know, you don't need this 12-color machine to do that.
Right.
You could just run. He's just doing white.
Right, and I happen to know this was a run of about 100 shirts, so...
Nice.
Right. Yeah. So well, no, because it's a car club, so I know the car club, so I know.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. Sick. You know. I mean, I think they could have went over it another few times.
Yeah.
Brighten it up, flash it a little bit. You know,
right.
Bring out the white.
Yeah.
But you know, it's kind of just, you know, automated, but at the same time, you need that creativity to really understand, because you want to put yourself in your customer's perspective, like. Like, if I was going to wear this, you know, I would want it to look as good as what we're giving them. So.
Is there a lot of crossover between doing the art and the music? Like, is your customer or your contact list crossing over and merging? And
I've gotten, like, I know bands.
I mean,
so, like,
bands constantly need to do promo stuff, right?
Yeah,
so.
Like, a bunch come to me. Some people I've met that are in bands that just come in, you know, or whatever. But, yeah, I try to reach out to that that sort of base of people, but at the same time, we do more high volume orders that are contract. So we, you know, for like sports teams and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really, you know, necessarily rely on the retail of like a band coming in for 25 shirts.
Right.
But I do like catering to them too, so we have that available, you know, to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so nice. I meet a lot of people like that, and I mean. Weirdly enough, when we were switching warehouses, I, like, recorded the sounds of the warehouse. And so I kind of want to, like, incorporate that. Like steel bars were falling over the edge.
Nice.
Like, the saws were going. And so, like, I recorded some of that. And I want to, like, incorporate that into something I make.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, that seems like a perfect metal crossover sampling. Literally metal, you know.
Yeah, like, actual metal. Like, you know, steel plates coming down.
You know, now that I think about it, the possibilities are endless. Do you do a lot of your own editing, digitally speaking? Or are you just there with 4-track recorders, or you're actually on your computer? It sounds like with GarageBand, you'd have to be, that's purely digital.
Yeah, so. I mean, I'm like into electronic, but I'm not so much. I want to get more into gear, the gear side of things. I like recording things on my phone and warping it how I want to.
You know, like having been like, in a world where there was only the gear side of things, like you know, like this guitar thing that I was talking about, it's amazing because I have, you know, you can buy a relatively cheap guitar and it's still great. I mean, it's not a $1,000 guitar great, but it's still great.
Right.
The stuff you could buy in like when I was starting in music, it was so expensive to get good gear, mm-hmm. and like because of the computer, I can do things I could never dream of before. Like, a band would work so hard at a performance, and then you just record it on this junk tape recorder, you know, like the throwaway $50 tape recorder.
I like
from
that
those.
Though.
Well, it's you know, I don't. It was horrible. It just, I guess I did it too many times and depended on it too many times.
Tapes could decay, too.
Machines could break, and it just, you know, adding static every time you re-record it, you know.
It depends what your mindset is going into it, though. Like, you know, like...
Right, but the stuff that now, with analog to digital, or even just the analog gear, which is often digital underneath, mm-hmm. is so much better. It's like, okay, no big deal.
Right.
You know, a person can easily become a solo artist. You know, so
I appreciate really well, highly produced music, but just as much as I enjoy listening to something that someone recorded on their cell phone. It depends what it is and
really
the mindset going into it.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah, cool.
Like I like a lot of lo-fi music.
Right.
You know.
Well, music sounds totally different now. Some of the you know like some of the music that I was like growing up, you know, you hear on the radio. Where it is garbage. I mean, it's just terrible fidelity, you know.
It was hi-fi for then, but it sounds like it's like try hard.
You listen to the same music now, and it's like, this is a completely different song than I thought it was. Like, this whole notes that are just appear out of nowhere that you didn't hear before. And
well, like, 100 years from now, someone's going to be like, wow, that's so shit. Like, the best record of this year is going to sound like lo-fi to them, you
well,
know.
Well, you know, 100
time.
Years from now, we're going to have 26 years.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, we're all going to be blue bloods.
Yeah. It's going to be like... Ear hole has a different genre.
Right, right. You're gonna like that. Sounds really great in my foot ear, but not so good in my elbow ear.
This is my jazz. The weenus is my jazz music. The jazz music goes in.
Heard it first. Weenus jazz music. you're into Android phones, huh? But you have a Mac at home? What, because of the GarageBand or?
Yeah, I mean that's why I wanted it. My mom said as a graduation gift, if I chose to go to college, which I did, she would get me a laptop of my choice, and I wanted a MacBook because it had GarageBand on it, and I thought iPods are cool, so I was like, sure.
Sell me a GarageBand because I stared at it 1,000 times. I went, I don't care.
I just see it as a tool, really. It's
kind of
what you put in, you know, and what, because like there's so many.
It's just
artists,
your editor choice.
Yeah, like there's so many artists that produced really good albums on, you know, like Audacity, even like you know.
Yeah, I use Audacity all the time.
Yeah, but people have produced.
I'm like a Linux guy, so like all the open source stuff, like OpenShot, Audacity,
GIMP.
Yeah, GIMP. OBS, you know.
Nobody
that's,
wants to pay subscriptions to Adobe.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. After 20 years of GIMP, it does start to get a little easier. It takes about 20 years off. Sorry.
Yeah. There's some tools I would fix, but...
Yeah. It does, you know. It's rough.
Yeah, but... Yeah.
I did start on Photoshop before that, and then I went to GIMP, and I was like, what? This is terrible. And I've been thinking that for 20 years, and I'm finally getting to the point where if you're a pro, it's probably fine, mm-hmm. but, you know, like, things that... It's so many shortcuts and tricks, and you really have to have your technique down perfect to even go in there.
I use Photoshop at work a lot to like mock up for customers. So, because I was that kid that like would be playing computer games sometimes more than going out, and so I kind of like taught myself how to use Photoshop.
Really?
You know.
So you'd be home, you know, nestled in with your computer.
Yeah.
And so you'd be just mucking around. Do you ever write any code or?
I have some experience with processing.
Okay.
That program. Just in college, at Stony Brook, there was a multimedia sort of track. There was like a class where we learned some of that in it. Like we learned how to, so like I kind of programmed like a a final project where it triggered different sound samples from the keyboard. You know, like I figured out how to do that.
So like this kind of like doing something like the show where you're constantly producing new content like on a schedule, mm-hmm. it's super useful being able to script. So being able to scripting is like, you know, using writing programs, but where you don't compile it, you know, the program source code right in front of you all the time. And it's spectacular. I mean, it's like I generate the MP3s for the show, mm-hmm. you know, like in minutes because I just, you know, hit it and walk away and come back 10 minutes yeah. later and there's an MP3 sitting there and it's just a script that runs in the background, mm-hmm. you know, and there's a thousand little things. You know, I'm underrepresenting
it. There's so much to like that you can do.
And a lot of that you can do in OS X. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, you can because I actually like kind of made my own DVR. Like on my MacBook, I had class, so I had to like leave and not watch like a live stream. And this was before, I don't know, this is like in 2012, so think back to that software. And I used like some like screen capture, but I had it timed with the script of like how many minute countdown before it starts recording and when it stops. So when I came out of my classes, it was all saved. Like I figured out how to save it all.
Nice.
So I didn't miss the live stream because I knew they weren't going to have, like nobody was going to save it and it wasn't going to be available to rewatch. It was like a one time and done sort
right.
of live stream event. So I recorded it that way and saved it and I put it on YouTube.
So like the trick to know that if it's the right time is if are you toiling? You know, the word is toil. If you're toiling, that's when it's time. Like if I'm just doing the same thing over and over, I'm getting nothing out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it's time to script.
Right.
But of course, you can't do that in the analog space. That's why I'm so impressed with that you guys are still doing it. But I guess in a way, the real toil would be doing the long run. Mm-hmm. So once you've tooled everything up,
yeah,
there's not that much toil.
Right. Yeah. And it's also like when you don't have a program, and it's kind of like, you know, you're sort of like creating your own way out of it, and then later on someone will make an app with all that code you've used, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this is the long form format, kind of like roundabout way to do it, you know.
Right
like a workaround sort of thing.
Well, so most apps, the thing with apps that, like, you know, like when you get more into doing your own code and writing your own stuff, mm-hmm. you realize that, like, oh, these apps are just targeted at the most common case.
Yeah.
Right. And actually, most mm-hmm. people don't realize, you know, apps are the face of computer science that people see, and they're like, oh, you know, this app's good, that app's bad.
I press button, it does this.
It does this. But actually, businesses will want that for weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I press button, it does this.
Yeah.
So most of the computer science business is actually writing programs for custom programs for
mm-hmm.
little businesses that need to do something a little bit faster. You know,
it's
or
like
a little bit
niche,
different.
Niche too, because there's like software.
It's all niche. It's all niche. It's like 90% niche. The computer business.
There's like software for screen printing specifically. So like you can have your art approval here, your customer info here, you know, and it sends out the approval, and they approve it. You get that back, and you can it's kind of like an all-in-one, but it's really specific because you can make a spreadsheet, but you can't attach really like a photo to it, or an art approval can't be lively, like in real time approved or, you know, revised.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like you're saying, they're specific. They really create for niches.
Right. Yeah, it's weird because it's weird to be. I'm glad I'm hearing this because this is a hopeful sign to me. You know, that we're still going to have something to do. I mean, it's not like I'm not the person. If you set me idle, I will find something to do, like learn guitar,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm not going to just sit there and waste away. I think there are people who will do that. They'll just waste away if they have nothing to do, if they don't have structure. But, like, we're getting away from structure. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, like, the things that people would, you know, that toil word,
mm-hmm.
you know, the things that people would consider to be toil, 20 years ago, you know, are long gone. The things that we wouldn't consider to be toil now, people are coming up with, are actually recognizing toil,
mm-hmm.
and they're just eliminating, they're automating things away that mm-hmm. you thought would, like, it's not that big a deal to do this. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost like people are going intentionally into a toil world. Like I'm going to mow my own lawn
mm-hmm.
because it just bothered me that somebody else was mowing it badly. I know
yeah.
it sounds stupid, but, like, I actually mm-hmm. enjoy mowing my lawn.
Yeah,
or just
like, it's not really that necessary. It's like an extra step you need to take, you know, and it's kind of like being self-reliant.
It's almost like we're flipping around back to the other side. It's like, it's okay to, like, you know, like, to sweep a floor. It's not going to kill me. Like, I could have a Roomba do it, right?
Those things are stupid. I kick them.
You kick robots.
Yeah. You heard about that Roomba with the sound effects added?
Yeah.
You heard about that one?
No, I didn't hear about that.
I think I did.
Some guy...
I thought that just means you put a cat on top of it.
No, some guy took a Roomba and he programmed it so whenever it hit something, it screamed.
Really?
And he recorded a bunch of YouTubers, like the YouTubers Max Mofo and iDubbbz and all that, and they all recorded screams, and then when it ran into something, it started screaming. And then, like, and one of the guys was, like, screaming it in, like, an Australian accent and cursing like crazy.
Yeah.
And he brought the Roomba over to a Target, and he was pretending that it was a... was pretending that the Roomba was like from the store.
That he hadn't modded it.
Yeah, he pretended for
it was from the store.
And he was driving. And he was driving around. I was like, I think this Roomba's broken. And then he walked over. He's like, oh my god, what's wrong with this thing?
That's great. It's like Alexa threatening to kill people on hyperdrive.
They're all recording us. So that Roomba, when it sneaks into the bathroom and you're in the bathroom, you gotta just throw a towel over.
Yeah,
it.
I put cameras on everything. I put covers on all my cameras. You know, yeah, everything gets covers because I know software. I can audit software at a level that like most people can't. What if I'm wrong? I don't have to be wrong once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that camera's recording me. So yeah.
Or the drones right are watching from your window.
You know, first thing I do when I sit down at my desk. I do that with the phone, right? Yeah. See, the camera's looking at you, right? Didn't even think about that, did you?
Didn't.
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge. Android phones are a huge monoculture. Because it's a lot of the same software running in all of them. So if someone comes up with an exploit for one phone, they came up with an exploit for a billion. You know, so that's all when you're trying to break into stuff. That's where's the money? Where there's lots of them.
Yeah.
Can you believe we're like done? I mean, it's like there's no time left. we've actually gone. We got 10 minutes
crazy.
Left. We got for 3 hours.
Seriously?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah, we went for 3 hours. It's
11:04.
I was just getting started. I don't know.
We basically did my questions for you on here, and we haven't even gotten into like the abstract stuff. You know, I was going to ask you about automated tolling or the upgrade treadmill. How about the upgrade treadmill? There you go.
I don't like treadmills.
Yeah.
I'd rather run on the ground. See, instead of the app treadmill as to app as running is to coding.
Right. Interesting. Yeah.
I'd rather run.
Yeah. You know, so I run too. I know you hardly know it. You know, I'm getting a little older, but you know, I kind of like limp. But you know, I limp and pretend like I'm running. And
work is work.
I do a lot of it on a treadmill, but it's so much better when I'm jogging in meat space, you know, when I'm not just in, you know.
The inclines, the sights you see, you know, some of them not that great, but, you know, you're running the meadows.
Well, I've jogged through Bethpage Park at night, and...
Don't do that.
Yeah, I won't do it anymore. I think I'm getting too old for that. But, like, I have done it, and actually there was a murder. They found a dead body.
That's what I heard. That's what
I heard. Yeah, yeah. So, like I'm like, maybe I won't do that anymore. But, of course, it could have happened when I was there, too. You know, so, yeah, the sights are not always good, right?
Yeah,
you never know when you're...
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you're exhausted.
Right.
You're at risk.
And also cars, like, you know, if you run on the road, you know, they run... All these people are dying from bike rides, getting hit by cars and stuff in the city and everything. It's just like... You know, and then with the distraction of cell phones and stuff, you know, now you've really got to be careful where you're running, too.
Right, right. So it's funny that I wasn't really talking about treadmills. Of course, you know that, right? You're joking.
I just don't like treadmills, and I talked to my brother about this the other day. I was just like, either my brother or someone he knows, something like that, and their argument was like, oh, you can pull the stop if you don't want to fall off. And I'm like, well, I'll just face plant into the machine because it's got to just dead stop. I don't... Like,
yeah.
You know, sometimes I'll zone out and I'll be like thinking about something and then I'll just fall off.
Yeah, you'll fall off.
Yeah, I don't like it. No. I pictured it happening.
I feel the same way about software upgrade treadmills. So, like, I don't know. I have a Samsung, the Galaxy 10.
How many bugs are we going to have to work through?
And they want to upgrade this thing. It's a locked phone. It's the only locked phone I've ever owned.
What candy is it up to now? Last I remember it was Jelly Bean and I lost track. Gingerbread?
They're going Android 10.
Yeah.
They're ditching the desserts and they're going to Android 10 next.
I don't like licorice, so I'm
why is everything 10? It's Windows 10, OS X 10,
OS X. We didn't talk about Windows 10.
Yeah.
Or Vista.
Or Vista.
Those are bad days. My dad had Vista at his house.
Uninstall everything, reinstall everything, reboot.
I just said that, like, how are we family? Why do you have this?
Well, this is one of the reasons I became an open source guy, because I was actually working in at a university, and we had piles of Windows machines. It was actually Windows NT, which was the worst. It was worse than anything else, and they would just constantly reboot. We couldn't even keep a single lab up for a single class. It was crazy, and someone's like, "Have you checked out Linux?" I'm like, "No, let's check it out." I'm like, "That's great. I'm doing this forever," and the rest was just me not getting into Windows. So
yeah, no, I mean,
I use it. I know how it works. I just don't.
Brave is what you said earlier, right? Brave.
The Brave browser, yeah.
I gotta check that out too.
Yeah. So yeah, well, like you were mentioning, all these open source programs, they all work on Linux too. So if you've gotten used to them, it's not a big jump anymore.
Right.
You know, it used to be this huge jump where there's weird apps and, you know, yeah, I mean, sure, GIMP's annoying, but you can use it in a crunch, right?
And after a while, it becomes all the same. It's just the user experience.
Right, once you have the technique
down. You pay for
down.
The interface. You're paying for an interface more than...
Well, that's what Apple is, too. So this is the thing with the particularly iPhone, but not OS X. OS X is more, because it has stuff in the back end and underneath that can do more. Mm-hmm. But I think in particular on the iPhone, you're just paying for the interface. At this point, you know, sorry, Apple. I wish you weren't true.
So many people have iPhones, but I'm just like, I have headphone jack, and I'm having
I have a headphone jack.
I have a dingle dongleberry, whatever it is. Dongle, whatever they call it. Stupid
dingle dongle ear hole.
I've heard that'll happen soon to me, and I'll just keep this phone. So.
Yeah, I'm so LG. LG has a quad jack and amp.
Okay.
Okay.
Audio file, great.
Wow, cool, awesome,
I'm
man.
With it. Get a burner phone and call it quits with everything.
Right. Move to a purely analog lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know,
Can I live in here?
Yeah.
Just hide? Well, no, there's too much digital around here.
Yeah. Help, it's burning my brain, all the radio waves.
I just saw the shrub behind you, and I'm like, I can hide behind that pretty well.
Nice. this is literally what the Amish did, except they did it way earlier, you know. They literally just went, yeah, whatever, this stuff's all crazy. We're just going to stick to barns and horses.
Yeah.
Well, maybe there's a happy in between, right?
Yeah.
It's going to keep going.
That's an interesting topic that's, I don't even know.
Being a Luddite and, you know.
Amish and, you know, I don't know. It's just
aside from, you know, I'm not talking about whatever their religious beliefs are in their society. But, like, you know, like, just drop out of technology, you know, going to become a farmer in the middle of nowhere and, like, 90% of your life will be... You know,
well, I would
not
keep the technology, but the limited technology. So, like, cell phone that just calls, texts, you know, you can't even access mobile browser, which I'm sure, you know, you can argue it can get hacked, too.
Right.
So.
Yeah, well, it's even happening to farmers. Remember we were talking about with the cars? John Deere tractors. They're totally locked down. They can't fix them. They have to bring them to an authorized dealer. Right. The only reason
some political stuff. Where
that is.
Like
it is. Yeah.
You have your neighbor, your farmer's son is a tech guy, and he's like, "Let's make sure we're the ones in business."
Well, this is
take him out.
This is extremely important for farmers because they typically, you know, traditionally they fix their own stuff. You know, and they can't fix the tractor. So GM and John Deere.
That could screw your whole season.
GM and
it takes only a week to
diesel lose. Trucks if they're not happy with what they see with their depth fluid sensors, they go into limp mode. If you're a long haul truck driver and your truck goes into limp mode, you're up a creek. Now you got to get two tow trucks. You got to get a truck to tow your load, and you got to get a truck to tow your cab.
Right.
So what you just disable it because it's the only thing you can do. You just stub everything out. It's like the opposite of, if anything, they were better off before they even put the depth fluid system on there. You know, so it's like the environmental overreach went over.
I missed my opportunity for that's what she said, but there it is.
Nice. That's what he said, and that's what she said here on the Technocrat Live. Don't miss it. Yeah. Just leave them only the best for you guys. Was there anything
That's
you wanted to talk
enough.
About or ask me about? Or is there anyone else you'd like to see on the show? Or?
Wow, that's a lot all at once. But just
throw some of it away.
I had double band practice the other day, so I just had like both band practices in the same night. And Sharp Violet, we have some shows coming up, so check out our social media for that. We're at Sharp Violet. And yeah, we're working on more music, so hopefully the Bandcamp will have some new stuff soon.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then Senseless, we have a bunch of stuff going on too. We're actually, we have a music video coming out, I think the 23rd or 24th, and actually we use the warehouse space next door to where I work, so it'll look cool in the video. So look out for that. We're Senseless HC on social. And we have some out-of-state shows coming up, things like that. So, yeah, you could really, nowadays, you don't need to wait for a zine to come to you or, like, a friend to call you about a show. You just check the social media, and all of our life is on there. So, if you're interested in hardcore.
Like it or not.
Yeah.
Here's everything, including the Roomba shot in the shower.
The things they, you know, the band drinks, eats, everything's on there, and you know, so, so if you want to keep up with it, if you like hardcore music, check out Senseless and Trouble.
I really like KO, by the way. I like that.
Really?
Yeah,
thank
it's a good
you.
Song.
Thank
excellent.
You. I love that song. I, like, as soon as that hit,
I was like
a come in.
I was like, boom, hit.
Yeah. My foot's, like, in stop mode, and then I just, it's fun. A lot of fun. You know, I like playing music, so there's something about it, you know.
Okay.
Well, live energy. So come check out a show if you can. You know, if you haven't been to any of the bands I've mentioned, or just go to shows. Like, people don't go out enough to shows. You don't need to know the bands to enjoy yourself at a show.
Well, how do people find out where? Do you find the band and then it points you to the clubs or in the bars?
You can go to like coffee shops. You'll see like 10 band shirts in one spot. You can just talk to a stranger wearing a cool shirt. You know, you'll learn more from them than probably school. So, you know. I mean, like, come on.
I love it.
You know, like, within 10 minutes of going into a coffee shop, I met 5 different bands, you know, people from bands or go to shows or whatever. So, you know, just go out, you know.
Have you had a good time on the show?
I did. I really enjoyed my time. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't prepare in any way.
No. Preparing just ruins it.
I didn't know enough about, like, a lot of these news topics and stuff, but I had fun learning a lot, you know. Like, I learned a lot of stuff, and
And
justified my kicking robot thing, so.
Yeah, well, you know what? Sometimes, it takes a 3-hour show to get the perfect shtick like that, like kicking the robot, so they need to be kicked. Kick your robots, people.
Punch Nazis.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Thanks so much for being on, Jasmine Fuentes.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Good night, folks. See you next week.